This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
Yes, here we are. Andy Parsons on FUBAR Radio. I'm quite amazed I, in fact, got that almost bang on 7 o'clock. I came in. I haven't mucked it up yet. I will do so, probably very shortly. To help me here today, I have Amanda, the producer. You can probably hear somebody chuckling in the background. That is Amanda. She will be giving me assistance, making sure I don't muck up too badly. Mm. Essentially, I have got 4 FUBAR sort of jingles that I need to get in, particularly apparently after a track. So I've got the first one in. I'll just give you the rest of them just so you can make your own mind up as what you think of them. This is number 2, FUBAR jingle 2. There we go. Doesn't seem to be working very well, that one. So I'll press number 3 instead. 3's not working either. I'll click on them. Don't help me yet. I'm still doing it. Here we go.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
That's number 2. I don't we'll be hearing too much of that one. I'm not a personal fan of that one. It's number 3.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, there we go. That's number 3. And there is a 4th one here somewhere, but I can't be bothered to find it. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Andy.
What did you make of those little jingles?
I think you've got a couple of better ones there. They're just the generic FUBAR ones.
FUBAR ones. You've got bored of them over the last 3 months, have you?
I can't tell you how bored I am. Especially the finger one.
Yes. No, that finger one I've had enough of already, and I've only played it once. So, shall we talk about today's show?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, well, basically, we're going to be interviewing Gavin Ramjan.
Yes.
He's coming up soon, isn't he? I'm quite pronounced his name right, but he won't worry.
No,
he won't. Sure.
Just say it really quick, like you did just then, and then it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Just Gavin Ramjan.
So we're going to be talking bits to him about, about phone hacking, probably.
A bit of hacking.
Yep. And maybe HS3, because we exciting topics this week, haven't there? Jean-Claude Juncker in Europe, HS3. So I think we'll be concentrating mainly
on the phone
hacking there.
Bit of passports.
Oh, passports. Well, that's what we want people to get involved with, don't we? Because if you've missed your passport, have you missed your passport, let us know. Maybe we should do that straight away so as people can let us know where they need to, how they can get in contact with us. Do you want to give that information out
at
the
top? Shall I do that? Okay, yeah. So you can phone on 0330 223 0200.
Catchy, isn't it? That one.
It just trips off the tongue. Yeah. And get this for a text number. I'm going to take a deep breath. It's 07 8 600 17 300.
Again, I mean, you know, I would have thought that was a perfect one. I can see why they chose that one. And you can tweet us at Mr. Andy Parsons, MrAndyParsons, or at FUBAR Radio. We've basically put a few tweets out this afternoon. We want to know, right, if you have to stay in the UK, where could you go? There are some pretty disappointing attractions out there. Mm. I was in Redditch on tour last year. The Needle Museum came across my vision. The National Needle Museum. Why would you want to go there, would you think? Well, the reason being, apparently, is that there's all different sorts of needles, and they'll tell you what they've been used for throughout the ages.
Wow. Well, so how was it, Andy?
Well, I managed to go straight past it. There was nothing that was going to entice me into the National Needle Museum. I then found out that there is a Birmingham Pen Museum.
Well, yeah, there's a pencil museum in Cumberland as well.
There is, and it's got a 6-foot pencil or something like that.
Oh, no, I'm going. That's just sold me. I'm going. Yeah. It sounds amazing.
It is the largest pencil in the world. They can't use it, obviously.
Nobody, who can use that?
Nobody can carry it. The world's biggest man couldn't use it. But it is there in Keswick. As if there aren't enough things to see in the Lake District.
Yeah.
As if you're going, oh, I wonder what I'll do in the Lake District. Yeah. There's nothing beautiful to see around here. I'd love to see a large pencil. What's the most disappointing attraction you've been to?
I think it would have to be one that's on the top 10 list, actually. It's Woodhenge.
Is there a top 10 list?
There is a top 10 list, and Woodhenge is number 10 on that list. And because I come from down that way, and it's right next to Stonehenge, you see.
Woodhenge Way. You come down from Woodhenge Way.
I do, Woodhenge Way. Yeah. It's right near. Well, I come from near
Stonehenge. I'm now getting an idea what Woodhenge is, you see.
Well, you know, everybody, iconic Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the, you know, 7 wonders of the ancient world.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. You can Google that one if you like.
According to locals, yeah. One of the seven ancient wonders.
And there are big
stones
or a mezen, right? And right next to it, which is very little known, but there's also Woodhenge as well. And Woodhenge is, obviously, the prehistoric wood doesn't exist anymore. So they've just got these little pillars.
Twigs.
Of where the wood probably was.
Right.
And it's kind of laid out a bit like Stonehenge. And it's just across the field. So whilst you're there, folks, you may as well pop across.
They haven't bothered to build a visitor centre for Woodhenge yet.
Not for Woodhenge, no. I think there's a footnote kind of somewhere on one of the little boards that's like, oh, yeah, Woodhenge.
Paperhenge, how did that go?
Yeah. A bit of a damp squib when it rained.
Yeah,
so Woodhenge, not so good.
So tell me about this top 10. Where did you get your top 10 from?
I got it from a little-known search engine called Google.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Which we don't use anymore for tax purposes, is that right?
Yes, that's, absolutely.
We use some of the more friendly search engines.
Which are...
Few and far between.
Yeah, exactly. There's the Plastic Museum.
Yes.
It actually specialises in Bakelite. And that is down... That is not far from Stonehenge, actually, right? So you can do the Holy Trinity of Stonehenge, Woodhenge and the Bakelite Museum in Willerton in Somerset.
Yeah,
that sounds poor, probably.
That does sound poor.
It houses one of the UK's largest collections of vintage plastics and it is a temple to the redundant material.
Yeah.
Well, so it just sounds like somebody's just collected loads of old junk from when people moved house and just put it...
Yeah, that is a rubbish one. I've got a whole list of rubbish ones.
Let's hear it.
You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is 10 odd days out. This is from the BBC News website. It's got the Cumberland Pencil Museum, but better than that, the Stockport Hatworks Museum. You can see the Museum of Hatting, right? And you've got, tells you, do baseball caps fry the brain? That's one of the big three questions they ask. No, they don't. There we go. Don't bother going and see that one.
Done.
The National Space Centre in Leicester.
Right, now that sounds good. What's so bad about that?
Well, what have we put into space? Not very much, is it? The only thing we put into space was Beagle 3, and we've no idea where that is, where it landed, whether it burnt out, whether it made Mars. I should imagine the attraction, basically, you just go there, and there's a series, a surface of Mars sort of attraction, and you put your little marker where you think Beagle 3 may be. So that's that one. I mean, there's not even a planetarium there. You'd have thought they could at least, wouldn't you, like have some bloke with a torch and a colander and a dark room and a ceiling or something and at least give you some sort of attraction. So that's a number 4 on the list. Still better than this, though. Apparently, the Isle of Arran has got a nudist beach. That's up in the north of Scotland.
Wow.
Now, would you really want to be showing off any of your bits and pieces in a Force 10 gale? I think that's unlikely. Better than that, though, the Basildon Heritage Trail. Did you know Basildon had any heritage?
No, I had no idea that there was any heritage in Essex at all.
I should imagine that is a fairly short trip, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Look at Basildon. Is there any heritage? No. Thank you for coming on the trail. And then my favourite so far, the National Lawnmower Museum, which is apparently in Southport.
Wow. Oh, come on. That's got to be a great day out, hasn't it?
Well, you just go to B&Q and you probably see more lawnmowers. So that, and if you weren't happy with that, Diggerland. Diggerland apparently is available in County Durham. It's the joys and the magic of the yellow digger.
Wow.
Well, mind you, my 3-year-old would be quite excited by Diggerland,
I think. My nephew would love that, actually. I'm not taking
his
him.
His dad would, bored senseless, but he would love Diggerland. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll take them on a school trip or something.
So you're getting contact on these catchy numbers that we have. 0330 223 022. No, something like that. 07860 017 300. Text us on that. But much easier to tweet us at Mr. Andy Parsons or at Fubar Radio. We're going to be talking to Gavin about phone hacking. What's going to happen to Andy Coulson? What's going to happen to Rebecca Brooks? What's happening to David Cameron? We're also going to ask you, have you lost your passport? Where are you going to tell us to go? We've given you some disappointing examples. Do you have anything worse? The York Quilt Museum springs to mind if none of the others were poor enough for your liking. We're also then going to talk in the second hour. We're going to be talking to various journalists about Glastonbury. Glastonbury's this weekend. Rain is coming, apparently,
this evening.
So
another damp squib.
Yes, that's it. Squib's an interesting word, isn't it? It's sort of a bit old-fashioned, isn't it?
Squib.
A squib, I vaguely think it was something... I think it was a bomb. And a squib was you chucked a bomb. Back in the Middle Ages, it was like, a handheld bomb, like a grenade.
Oh.
And it was called a squib. And they used it. And if it was damp, obviously, you could chuck it, but it wouldn't go pop. So that is why it's called a damp squib.
Did you learn about that in the National Heritage Museum of Bombers?
I think I must have had a spare half an hour when I was thinking about poking my own eyes out through boredom, but I learned about squibs instead. But there we go. Learning in 10 minutes into the show and people go, oh, well, I have learned something. I know where the National Lawnmower Museum is and I know what a squib is. So, yes, and then after we talk Glastonbury, maybe we'll talk a bit about Metallica, the controversy that they're headlining. They weren't going to show the England game. Now, that would have been even more controversial, but now nobody gives a monkeys, and we'll be discussing that in our third section.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, the World Cup adverts have caused some controversy. We'll be asking you, given that we've gone out of the World Cup, what adverts should those footballers now be doing instead of promoting their footballing wares and various products associated with them? What adverts should they be doing? And also, we'd like, there's a new phone that's going to be on the market next year where you can send smells to your phone. I like this idea.
I think that's horrifying. Some of the smells that I have smelt in my life.
Yeah.
Why would I want somebody to send them to me?
Well, no, you wouldn't, but I'd quite like to send them to you.
I'm sure you would.
This place is awful. You know, you thought the National Space Centre was bad, but I am now in the National Bin Museum or something like that. And then you go, oh, what's that smell like? Well, here you go. So we'll be discussing that in our second hour. So, yeah, have a crack on one of the different modes of getting in contact, and after we've played a little track, we will be talking to Gavin about what's been happening this week in the world of politics. I just need to work out how to do this. I reckon if I press this one, we are game on. Well, there, you can tell why he's got a job on radio. Super. So now on the line, we have got Gavin, who is going to be talking to us hopefully about what's going on. Let's have a little chat. Hi there, Gavin.
You're right, Andy. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you very much. So, how are you?
Yes, I'm not too bad, thank you. Cheers, not too bad.
What have you been up to this week?
Oh, this week, I've been enjoying the World Cup more than anything, to be honest. I mean, apart from England getting, you know, knocked out and failing to beat Costa Rica, I've just been loving the World Cup more than anything. How about yourself?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've basically done nothing for 2 weeks and you do nothing for the next 2 weeks, regardless of what happened to the England team.
No, to be honest, I'm very busy with the London Live channel, which is goes out on Sky 117.
Get a plug in for London Live, come on. I'm guessing they need a few plugs.
No, it's good fun. It's a really good team, and you know it's getting its shape, and we're really enjoying stuff and getting cracking on that. So yeah, that's what I've been doing pretty much most of the time, and I keep my eye on the ball with a lot of the news agenda as well. So yeah, it's all good, my man.
Excellent. And what have you made of the phone hacking? It all broke early part of the week. Obviously, Rebecca Brooks found innocent, and Andy Coulson found guilty. What did you make of that?
Well, yeah, it's really interesting because you know, obviously they've gone through sort of many sort of you know, documents and a lot of the evidence towards both of regimes of the News of the World, which closed in 2011. So, you know, I just think it's really interesting to see how one sort of person has been found guilty and one person hasn't. Rebecca Brooks allegedly wasn't as close to the journalists who were hacking phones and you know, essentially giving misconduct within office. At that point, and that's why she was sort of the charges were dropped against her. But I think you know, the Andy Coulson situation, Cameron's reputation is going to be called into question now as to why he brought him into government. So many questions about that lie ahead, and also whether the Crown Prosecution Service should have potentially had a stronger agenda to prosecute Brooks. So that's another question that's going to be thrown up. But there's many more.
And, you know, Andy Coulson and Rebecca Brooks were supposed to have had this affair that went on for years. You know, the pillow talk kind of been up to much if he knew a load and she didn't.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I think, it really beggars belief as to what really happened, you know, in that sort of scenario when they had that affair. So I think, you know, I really do wonder about sort of like, you know, the future of our sort of like country and the government in terms of bringing people sort of who hadn't been properly checked into office. If that was the case, you know, why weren't checks made at the right times, and you know, why weren't sort of why wasn't the right diligence done at the right moment? That's I think the more interesting question, really.
I love the story that he wasn't given, Coulson apparently wasn't given top clearance because the your old civil service boss didn't fancy giving quite so many people top clearance. Then decided he was a good egg apparently and gave him all the documents anyway, although he hadn't been vetted. You know, how this bloke's still in a job? That is what beggars belief, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think absolutely right, to be honest. I couldn't really comment too much on that kind of side of things, really, because I don't know what the allegations are and who's done what and who's got what on us and that kind
Jeremy
of stuff.
Jeremy Hayward, supposedly, is the top civil service bloke.
Yes, that's right, exactly, yeah. Chief of the Cabinet Office, exactly, yeah. So, I mean, what do you make of it all? I think it's I just think it's got more questions than answers at this stage.
Well, Rebecca Brooks, she's a survivor, isn't she? I mean, she's a tough old cookie. She's the one who was married to Ross Kemp, wasn't she? And she beat him up. She beat him up when they were married together. And you're thinking it's a sad day when you've got to go around visiting gangs all over the world because it's safer than going home.
Well, when you put it that way, I suppose it is, isn't it, really? But,
He won't have enjoyed hearing all the details coming out in court, will he?
No, of course not. I mean, I just find it really funny now that they're planning on making, you know, a theatre production of the whole phone hacking affair, a film potentially coming out, documentaries no doubt will be commissioned left, right and centre as we're talking right now. I just think there's so much more that's going to sort of drag this on and on now, and there's so many more people that still are to be sort of trialled and to be kind of gone through the whole judicial process, really. I think that, you know, I think the drama of it all has sort of been a bit of a whirlwind, and it's been 8 months, I think, the trial in total. So, I think it's just the end of it, probably for the big names, but, you know, I think we will probably see it dramatised in many ways going forward.
And Ed Miliband, he had sort of several cracks at PMQs to try and get something to stick on the Prime Minister, and the Prime Minister basically just came back with Leveson's already, had the inquiry, and I'm clean as a whistle. And is he just going to keep playing that game? And do you think anything will stick at any point?
Well, I think, yeah, it's a really good question that, because the more we have sort of the Cameron in the firing line, and the more that Ed Miliband has a pop at, you know, his judgment and his decision making to be brought into government. I just think it's all political point scoring right now, because in less than 12 months we've got the election on the agenda, and will it affect people sort of voting patterns going forward? I have no idea, but I think that, you know, the story there is Ed Miliband needs to kind of bring himself back up in the ratings and in the pollings at the moment. So that's kind of, you know, why I think he's desperate to try and get one over on the government and the Prime Minister at the moment.
Well, you'd like to know what Andy Coulson's memoirs are going to look like, aren't you? Given that he had top security clearance, he's got a few things on the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister won't be slagging him off that much, I don't think.
No, well, exactly right. I think if he does go to prison for however long, it will be interesting to see what does come out of that. I'm sure a memoir, I'm sure a book, I'm sure some kind of memories of some sort will kind of exhibit themselves at whatever point. So, yeah, I think that will for sure be something we'll be talking about post-punishment and post-whatever he says, yeah.
And, you know, Cameron's had a bad week, really, isn't he? Because this Jean-Claude Juncker, a name that means little to most people and probably won't for many years, but he's going to be voted European president on Friday by the looks of things. And Cameron's the only bloke out of 27 or 28 leaders who's made some sort of fuss. And it's going to be steamrolled through, and he's made himself look a bit of a fool, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, this is it, because he's the only one who seems to have opposed his election to the EP presidency. So I just think that, you know, it's a really a funny way of how the kind of allegiances have gone with European leaders. Angela Merkel, many others have aligned themselves. Matteo Renzi have aligned themselves to what Juncker's all about. So I just don't think that it's sort of... I mean, I think it's brave what he's doing. I think it's a really interesting...
Is it brave or is it stupid? If you've got no hope of winning, is there any point in having the battle?
Well, if you're standing up for your principles of having more sort of devolved powers to national countries rather than having a federalist state, which is what Juncker wants, supposedly, I think it's probably, I think it's a good thing that he's doing it to show that he's standing up to what, you know, is best for British people.
And he's just doing it, really, just because he's worried about UKIP, isn't he? He described them all as fruitcakes, loonies and closet racists, and now he wants them all, doesn't he? Because when he said that, loads of people actually went out and voted for UKIP. It was like, it described a large chunk of the British electorate who suddenly went, oh, what, there is a party for me? Brilliant!
But isn't that a protest vote, though? Isn't that, you know, the local elections, the European elections, isn't that an opportunity for people to, you know, exhibit a bit of, dissatisfaction with the current government and vote in something that doesn't really matter to kind of the nation.
Surely, if that's the case,
some little local sort of constituency, some sort of areas of policy, but not necessarily for the wider agenda. I don't think Nigel Farage will ever be prime minister. So, you know, I think I can understand what he's doing with opposing Juncker. He needs to essentially get some of that sort of right of centre kind of leaning voter back, because they are leaning towards UKIP at the moment, and even Labour are trying to, you know, get in on that ground with the sort of benefits and unemployment sort of rights that they're forcing people to kind of work for these days. So I think it's something that people are trying to really hone in on and get that centre right ground.
But then, I mean, this Jean-Claude Juncker, one of the press have been going, oh, he's not the right man for the job because he's a drunk. They were saying they were alleging that he was a drunk and he liked cognac for breakfast. And you're thinking, well, Nigel Farage, he's never pictured without a pint, is he?
Yeah,
I guess it's
pint,
Nigel Farage doesn't have a pint for breakfast, but that may be because he doesn't get up in time.
Yeah, he's probably too busy downing it and putting on his head. You know, all those photo calls of him outside the pub after the election victories. And I think it's the image that is interesting, I think, for what we're seeing at the moment. You know, is it kind of like a strong man pandering to a strong man not pandering towards the European elite? That's what Cameron, I think, is going for at the moment. So it's just all about sort of image. It's all about portrayal of how you come across in terms of what you can get out for the country. You know, whether we have this EU referendum in 2017, should the Conservatives get in again, it remains to be seen. I think it will happen. I don't know whether they will get in on their own. I think they'll probably have to form another coalition of some sort. But, yeah, I just think that there's a lot of muddy policies out there at the moment, and image is quite a big deal.
Well, Cameron's reason for opposing him supposedly is that he wants to try and claim these concessions off Europe, and he doesn't think Juncker's going to give him any concessions. But the chances of anybody, you know, looking at the other candidates, nobody was going to give him too many concessions. He sort of put his sort of name on the line and said, oh, I'm going to get all these concessions and I'll put it to you in a referendum. But it looks at the moment he's going to make a real stink, and then he's going to come back with no concessions hardly at all, and then he'll put it to us in a referendum when he's going to campaign supposedly equally hard to stay in Europe. And you're thinking, isn't that a little bit like turning up at a party, threatening to leave the party, then maybe making a small sort of soiling of the carpet before going, I'm staying? That's essentially what his policy is.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got to bargain, you've got to barter for what you can at these events, you know, these round tables in Brussels and Luxembourg and Strasbourg. You know, there's a lot of sort of, you know, bartering that goes on, and I don't really know kind of how they decide on what they put forward and what they agree on and what they don't agree on. So it's one of these things where I just think it's all about, you know, standing up to the shadowy elite of Brussels or wherever they are based, whether it's Strasbourg or Brussels, depending on what time of year it is.
Well, that's so, it. They have 3 weeks in Brussels, don't they? And then because the French complain, then they go for a week in Strasbourg. It's like one of those disappointing relationships you have where you go, well, I'll stay at yours this weekend, you come to mine, and then you need two of everything. Otherwise, you're looking for the wok, and you go, where's the wok? And they go, well, that's at yours, but I've got the iron. Well, that's brilliant. We'll iron the chicken tonight, but, you know, next week we can stir fry my shirt. It's no good at all, is it?
No, it's the gravy train, isn't it? You know, that's what they're trying to clamp down or trying to get, you know, some powers back from. This sort of taxpayer-funded a mess that is sort of like Brussels and Strasbourg. So, there's a lot of power, a lot of concentration of European elite in that sort of area, isn't there?
Yeah, and what did you... I mean, Boris is, you know, he's supposed to be a mate of Cameron's, and he came up and described it as turd-polishing pointlessness. That was what Boris's quote was on trying to get Juncker unelected, or not elected as the case may be. Quite rich for Boris to come out with a quote like that, given that last week he bought 3 water cannons which aren't legal for use in this country as of now.
Yeah, as of now. But yes, you know, in the future, who knows? I think he's saying that it's good business to get it at this price because it was, you know, more expensive if it was to get it first-hand and new. And
It's only good business if Theresa May makes it allowable, isn't it? You know, if she turns around and says it's not going to happen, then he's looking a bit stupid, isn't he?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's probably an ill-advised judgment right now, but I can see the kind of mentality of what he's trying to do. I think he's trying to sort of, you know, get it in on the cheap now for when potentially it does get, you know, legalised by Trump.
I was going to say that he's going to be converting him to fire engines if he's, you know, if he's found that it won't actually happen. But I am looking forward to him testing them. I'm all in favour of him testing police stuff.
Hilarious. That would be hilarious, absolutely.
I hope you get that on London Live. I'd like to see him testing the tasers as well. And if you could manage to get him to test the tasers and the water cannon at the same time, I would be well up for that.
Oh, my word. I think, there'd be a bit of a trouble if that happened. Tasers and water cannon, be a bit of a hospital appointment on the horizon, I reckon.
So, Gavin, we've got a few people getting involved now because their passports have been delayed or whatever. Are we all right to chat to you? We're going to play a song now, Gavin. Are we all right to chat to you after the break?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Cracking. We'll play this song and then we'll come back and we'll talk passports straight after Calvin Harris and Summer.
Brilliant.
When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound.
Andy Parsons, ripping a new hole into the news agenda.
Well, there we go. That was my other jingle there. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm so fond of that one as I am the other one. So I don't think you'll be hearing that one again necessarily. Ripping a hole in the news, apparently. Well, there we go. So still on the line. Hopefully, we have got Gavin Ramjan. Gavin, are you still there?
I am indeed, Andy. Brilliant. Yes, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. We lost you at some moment. Some technical thing. I was trying to check out my jingles and I cut you off there, but I'm glad you're back now.
No offence taken. It's all good.
You're a good man. So, just before we get onto the passport fiasco, this HS3, George Osborne has been trying to drum up a bit of support in the north for the whole idea of a super city in the north of England. Were you following this story?
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea to create a northern global powerhouse. Better road and rail links to allow sort of northern cities to be connected. The usual sort of stuff. Any excuse to get George Osborne in a hard hat. You know, that's kind of the way that it seems to be going at the moment.
He looks good in a hard hat. Do you think he thinks he looks good? Is this what it is? Do you think?
He
looks like he could be a stripper in a hard hat, doesn't he? He looks like. The only needs four of the blokes on stage.
I'd love to see. Oh man, no, I just think that the HS3 idea, surely they should be focused on getting the HS2 sort of side of things, the second phase of it, and of the £50 billion scheme under control before they start thinking about HS3. It's all well and good connecting cities in the north to London and to various areas in the south, and this one is ideally between Manchester and Leeds, but I just think that ideally it needs to be tested between, London and Manchester first and foremost, and London and Birmingham first and foremost. So how do you know that people are really going to, get the most out of this, very expensive taxpayer-funded scheme? So that's what I think, don't know whether it's...
It's not going to catch on terribly well, is it? HS2, HS3, they don't sound very good names, do they? They sound like strains of bird flu to me.
HNM1, exactly, HN1-2, isn't it?
I'm going to go to Birmingham, and people going, you can catch HS2. People going, I won't bother then. That's not for me. And you think, you can promise what you like, HS4, HS5, but they're not, apparently the bit with HS2 is not going to be completed until 2033. And you think 2033, that's 20 years' time. I was hoping in 2033 to be travelling to Manchester on Dyson hover boots, not some sort of train that's 20 minutes quicker than it is now.
I know. Do you know what, though? I was in France recently for coverage of the Le Mans Grand Prix, and I was sort of hosting
there. That sounds excellent.
It was amazing, right? But in France, they have got the SNCF trains run on super sort of high-powered electricity lines, which connect, various parts of the country in rapid times. They are massive trains. They're really big. They're really heavy. They're proper sort of like fast and powerful sort of device to get people from one end of the country to the other. That network, whilst we don't have the speed and the power and the efficiency, I think we're all connecting them somewhere like France. But I do think that we are sort of lagging behind in journey times. To get from London to Manchester, it's good at the moment. The Pendolino service is about 2 hours and 30 minutes or something, which is good. But I think it would be quicker if we had a better system in place. So hopefully HS2 can actually do that. But, like you say, I'm sure it'll be set by delays and, being over budget and many other things. All those sort of things, there's always a snag somewhere, isn't there?
But wasn't the French thing, the great thing from the French thing that came out a couple of weeks ago, was they'd ordered all these new trains, hadn't they? And they hadn't measured the platforms and they were too big for the platforms, and they're now going to have to go around 50 different train platforms shaving 5 centimetres off or something.
Exactly right. What an absolute farce that was, eh? Yeah, they're going to go around and shave parts of the platform off to make these new expensive high-powered trains fit on the platform.
That's one thing we've got going. We thought that only happened in Britain, but no, pleased to see it can happen in France as well. But I didn't realise we subsidise the rail network now 4 times as much, apparently, as we did under British Rail. People always slagged off British Rail, but we actually subsidise it now 4 times as much. So, Richard...
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think it's... Yeah, I mean, I do think we deserve better service for the trains and the fares at the moment. The fares are just going up left, right and centre on. Every year they seem to, you know, incrementally go up by about 5% or something. So it's a ridiculous situation where people are paying a lot for travel and yet we're still hit by a lot of delays and, you know, reduced services on weekends and bank holidays. I think that we should probably do a bit more for provision.
Well, you know, that leads us neatly on to other delays. What's the latest on the passports? Is Theresa May's emergency measures, have they sorted anything out, or are people still struggling to get their passports on time?
Well, yeah, I think it's they're saying that the backlog is sort of decreasing at the moment. But what has struck me about this story is I saw that the head of the passport office was slammed last week by MPs over the chaos from this backlog. More than 50,000 not getting their passports in time. Earns $104,000 a year. He's going to get an award, apparently. So, I just think that's ridiculous to have sort of, you know, to award somebody who has sort of, you know, overseen a bit of a chaotic sort of situation.
He gets rewarded quite a lot by being paid a stupid amount of money for doing a poor job.
Yeah, this sort of thing, it kind of beggars belief, really, how, you know, you can kind of get, you know, this amount of delay in the system, because, you know, naturally you get a bit of, you know, kind of, I guess, leeway here and there when things go missing, when, you know, when stuff goes wrong. But this is a massive, massive monumental mess, isn't it, really?
Well, that's right. And, you know, you obviously there's certain people who go abroad who, you know, as soon as they get abroad, they try and find British TV and find fish and chips and watch a football match. And now they can do that because their passport hasn't arrived. So it's easy to find those things.
Yeah. I know. And another thing as well, the passport office makes £13 per application. I just think how can you profiteer off something like this, you know, from public hardship? It's, you know, I don't understand how the situation's got to the place it has. You know, MPs have been told that now having to spend nearly £1 million a month on overtime to deal with this sort of backlog of the applications, and then they make money on it to begin with. So it's just, it beggars belief as to how the system really works.
Well, Theresa May, she was there, you know, sort of having the hammer of the cops, that's what they were calling it, wasn't it? And she thought, oh, I'm going to Downing Street when David Cameron mucks up now. Then she had a spat with Gove and that all went the wrong way. And now she's got this as well. Let's face it, she's not going to be going on holiday anytime soon because the press will love to see a picture of her with her passport, won't they? The away
yeah,
secretary.
They would, yeah. Absolutely. We saw Helen Grant, I think, as well, away on in Brazil, I think it was, when she was talking about staycation. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues sort of like that arising at the moment. So we'll see what happens to Theresa May, whether she goes on holiday away this year.
And what about yourself? Are you going abroad? Have you got any plans?
Well, at the moment, to be honest, Andy, I'm not really. I'm just so flat out with work at the moment. So I'm in a decent situation where I can sort of, you know, I don't have any plans to go away, and I'm sort of quite busy here and enjoy myself.
So if you had to go somewhere in Britain, which is the attraction that you would recommend to the listeners? What's the Gavin Ramjan attraction that you've been to and you went, oh, that is top. That is good.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think there are so many places sort of down south on the coast. I do love Bournemouth. I'm from Worcestershire. That's where my accent's from, where I grew up. If you want to sort of go out and see a bit of the countryside, you've got to get out to Worcestershire, Warwickshire as well, Stratford-upon-Avon, all around there. That is such a beautiful part of the world. If you get a chance to go there, I highly recommend you do it for a day. It's really, really lovely.
I was going to say Bournemouth. I was there, in fact, only a couple of weeks ago. They've got an aquarium on the seafront, and they've got these otters there. And it's slightly disappointing because what happens is the otters can go outside. There's a little run outside. So anybody walking along the sort of seafront can see the otters. But you pay to go into the aquarium. You want to see the otters, not them running outside as soon as you see them. And you think, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, I'll go outside and then I'll see them. And of course, as soon as you go outside to see them, they run inside again. So you sort of, you're playing peekaboo with the otters, having paid to see them.
Yeah, the ridiculous game of hide and seek, I know. Yeah, otters, they're scared of human behaviour and human contact, aren't they?
And which ones, if you had to name a poor attraction, the one that you've paid some money for and you've gone, that is shocking. How has anybody set this up as an attraction? Do you have one that springs to mind?
Oh, crikey. Yeah,
we were talking about the York Quilt Museum. Have you ever been to the York Quilt Museum?
Do you know what? I haven't. I don't know if I would. The York Quilt Museum.
But
goodness,
your neck of the woods then, Redditch. Redditch, the Needle Museum in Redditch. Have you ever been there?
Oh, no, I know of it, but I've not been there. No,
you know
that
of it.
Doesn't
you grew
sound
up there,
like a great
but
place.
You just couldn't find the 5 minutes to check it out.
No, I haven't actually. No, I think it might be on the to-do list when I next pop back home to see friends and family. I think the Needle Museum, it sounds like a good attraction. No, I'll have to get thinking about that actually. The worst attraction. Wow. Okay.
Next time we speak, Gavin. But many thanks for your time tonight, and look forward to speaking again in the future.
Great to meet you, my man. Thank you very much for having me.
Cheers, Gavin.
See you later, Andy. Bye bye.
So there was Gavin. What did you make of all that, Amanda?
Well, actually, Gavin just reminded me of something that we had to go to on a school trip. There was a Clark's factory in our town, and we regularly had to go there on a school trip and see how shoes were made. And then at the end, they'd give you a shoe box just full of bits of shoe.
And how often did you have to go there? Like once a year?
I think in total about three times. And they'd give you bits of shoe in a shoebox, like some soles, a couple of heels.
Things that they've mucked up and they went, well, I'll just give them to the kids.
Yeah, but...
Why? Make your own shoe, but here's a starter kit.
At least when we went to the banana place next door, they gave us bananas, which is, you know, all right.
We like bananas.
I love bananas.
Yeah.
Love bananas.
You'd go there quite happily once a year, wouldn't you?
Well, I had to go there and see how they packed bananas.
That's a poor school trip, though,
it's
isn't
a
it?
Really bad school trip.
Because you could go to Tesco and do that for 5 minutes on your own time,
yeah,
really, couldn't you?
Pretty much. And also, I think it was just laziness on the teacher's part because it was just a little walk away from the school. It was probably about 10 minutes.
Well, somebody else looks after
school.
You as well. Presumably, they could go and have a cup of tea and then get the banana factory people to look after you.
And maybe they had a little sideline in bananas.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe there was a little bit of...
Yeah, oh yeah, what?
Under
you know,
the counter.
Slightly overcharge your kids and then we'll... Well, you may have uncovered something. Extremism in Wiltshire schools. So we've asked you. We've asked you on the various numbers and on Twitter and Facebook exactly your worst days out. Well, some suggestions are coming in. We'll do some more after our next track. Penge. Penge is coming. It's not really an attraction, Penge, is it?
I've never thought of Penge as an attraction.
It's just a place, Penge, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never been to Penge. It's near Croydon.
Yeah,
I've been to Croydon. It didn't do enough for me to make me think, oh, I'll check out Penge next door.
I used to live down that way. It was not the most spectacular year of my life. But I didn't live in Penge, but my friend who I was living with, who shall remain nameless, had a one-night stand and woke up in Penge.
Really?
And next to a photo of Celine Dion on the bedside table of this.
Oh, that is a worst date. I think maybe people should tweet in about worst dates. That is a poor date. Waking up
in Penge
with a picture of Celine Dion on
looking at you from the bedside table.
That is poor, isn't it? Does she look anything like Celine Dion, your friend?
My friend doesn't bear a passing resemblance, no. And yeah, so we had a bit of a thing about Celine Dion at the time because she was on telly a lot and we didn't really like her very much. And I think it was just the double whammy of Penge and Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he ever recovered from that.
No, but he wasn't standing on the end of the bed sort of with his arms outstretched cuddling his one night stand. On that note, we need a track. We need some good music. Here is Ella Eyre, If I Go. When we come back, we'll be discussing what you've managed to get in for your favourite and your worst attraction.
Great.
I could play any game for you. I could say.
So people have got in contact, which is good news. We asked people, you know, there were disappointing attractions out there. For those of people who didn't hear them, we were talking about the Penn Museum in Birmingham, the Needle Museum in Redditch. There was, what was the one that you were saying about?
Woodhenge.
Mm-hmm. Diggerland.
Yep.
And the National Lawnmower Museum, which I think was my poorest so far. What have you had in from people?
Well, Jeremy in Lewisham says, I once visited a donkey sanctuary. Once you've seen one or two, it gets a bit old.
Yeah.
Donkey. So I guess I love a donkey myself. Yeah, I don't think I'd get bored at a donkey sanctuary.
Well, there is one down in Cornwall. I don't think I ever went to it, but there is definitely one down there. There's a seal sanctuary down there as well.
I've been there.
Have you been to the seal sanctuary?
Yeah, it's got blind seals in it.
Yeah, well, that's right. And no wonder they had to go into a sanctuary, I should imagine, you know, but they could probably smell the fish and still get a meal. I don't know. I don't know how it works with the blind seals. I'm not well up to date
they
on that.
They were basically given a bit of fish, so they didn't have to kind of hunt for it.
Yeah.
They kind of waved it in front of their faces and he smelt it.
Well, I was going to say, it's got a fairly strong smell, isn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Maybe the ones who couldn't smell, they might have been worse off. You know, weren't sure what was. Yeah, to slap them around the face.
My
with
seal's
it,
got no nose. How does it smell? Yeah.
No, let's not go there.
No. All right.
I've got one from Ewan here. Ewan, he's tweeted us saying, "My mate's kid went to Noah's Ark Zoo Farm. It's a creationist zoo attraction for kids. She said they have it all wrong." So even the kids weren't pleased with that one. There's definitely a creationist one down in Bournemouth or Portsmouth, I think, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, and there's like, you'd have thought it wasn't big in this country. You thought the sort of thing they do in America. But apparently there is a creationist thing where you can learn that we're, you know, only been on the planet 5,000 years, yeah, and fossils are nonsense. So, and then you can go, presumably you can go down the coast to Lyme Regis.
To the Jurassic coast. And go and see some real life fossils for yourselves, guys. Also had Emma from Greenwich saying, Southern Water do Brighton sewer tours, where it takes you through 366 metres of the 48 kilometres of sewers. Fun, she says.
That sounds like she's been, to be fair. That is bad. That is
quite bad. Do you remember when they tried to make Sellafield an attraction?
The
nuclear power. Do you remember all those adverts?
Any particular
reason? Well, there were those adverts on the telly. That woman was going, "Hey, come to Sellafield. It's a great day out for the family." And I think they were just trying to prove that Chernobyl...
I'm enjoying your accent.
Thank you.
Where were you? Was that your Sellafield accent?
Is my Sellafield accent. Okay. It's slightly mutated.
Yeah.
But I think the Chernobyl thing had just happened. And they were going, "Oh, no, but it's fine, you know. We've all got one head and no webbed feet."
I remember climbing whatever the highest peak in England is. I've forgotten what it is now, but it's up in the Lake District. And you're climbing this beautiful peak and you go, "Oh, this is fantastic, the highest peak in England." And then you look back out to sea and all you can see is Sellafield nuclear plant. And you go, how did they build it there? Who allowed them to ruin the highest spot in England's best view?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But there's still, why would anybody want to walk around a nuclear power plant? I just can't see the attraction.
Well, I doubt very much whether they're still, I've not seen an advert in the last 20 odd years of people trying to persuade.
Well, I'm guessing with all these worries about dirty bombs, you know, encouraging people to walk around Sellafield is probably not the greatest idea,
is it? It's a different world now, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
It's a different world, Andy.
Well, I can remember when you used to be able to go up the post office tower, as it then was. But the BT tower has not been available for some time, has it? Where it is a bomb threat. So
that would be a good tourist attraction, wouldn't it?
What, things that you could have done back in the 70s, but you can't do now?
Yeah.
Get a free pass to Leeds General Hospital. There's one of them. There we go. I didn't think we were going to notice that tonight, but there we go. We've mentioned it
there
anyway.
We go. I can tick that one off. That's good.
That's it. I don't think there'll be too many people sporting eyeball rings for a little while, is my guess, but there we go.
Possibly not. No. Possibly not.
Anything else? Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on swiftly. So we've also had... I think this one might be a bit of a joke.
Oh, really? Well, let's hear it and we'll make our mind up.
Right. Phil Adamson tweeted in to say, "I went to Lilliput and visited a model village. I couldn't see a fucking thing."
Right.
So I don't think he really went and...
I don't think you can. There might be a Lilliput world, though, mightn't there?
There might be.
And he might be very short-sighted. Is Lilliput the small one, is it?
Yeah, the really, really small one. And a model village in Lilliput would be...
Blobdignag or something like that, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
I quite like a model village, though.
But you can't remember what the big one was, can you? But it is Brobdignag, isn't it? And then there's another one, isn't there? There's always a third one, but I've forgotten what the third one was. Yeah. Yeah, my knowledge of Gulliver's Travels isn't as good as it might be. But Lilliput's the one that always sticks in the mind. I've got one from Liam O'Leary. He said, as well as the Cumbrian Pencil Museum, which we did mention, he's saying that there is the Lakeside Aquarium and Steam Railway. Now, that is a curious attraction, isn't it? You weren't confident...
An aquarium and a steam railway under one roof?
Yeah. Because they weren't thinking, well, the steam railway, that's not going to be enough to get them in. We need a bit more than that. An aquarium as well. That with the steam railway, that will get them in. Do you think you go on the train through the aquarium? That's going to put the fish off, isn't it? The little bits of steam rising up, you know. You can't see the fish. Where's the fish gone?
Wow, I want to go to that place now and see how that works.
We want more. If you're listening, Liam, we want to find more out about the Lakeside Aquarium and Steam Railway. We also want to find out your worst dates. Amanda had a friend who woke up in Penge and looked. His first sight in the morning was a poster of Celine Dion. If you want the details, one of the coolest men has done me a jingle. This is how the jingle sounds.
The Andy Parsons Show wants you. Call 0330 223 0200. Email studio at fubarradio.com or tweet at fubarradio and at Mr. Andy Parsons.
So there we go. That is the messages to get us in on. All of those details, I wasn't paying full attention there, but it's those ones is you need to get in contact. In the next hour, we are going to be talking show business. Oh, yeah, the arts. We are going to be talking about Glastonbury. It's going to rain, apparently. It may be even raining now. We don't know. But who's playing? We're going to be talking, I believe, to... we got Phil Blacker talking sport, and then before that, we have got...
got Mr. Steve Hargrave.
Steve Hargrave, who's
here.
He's
in the building.
He's in the building, apparently. Fantastic news. So we're looking forward to chat to Steve about Glastow. We're also going to be talking about this smelly phone.
The smelly phone.
The smelly phone. Yep. Things that you can send on your phone. What smells would you like to send to various people, and who would you like to send them to? Or Amanda's making funny faces, but you know.
Yeah, I mean...
Could you have the smell of Celine Dion? I've woken up woken up in this room, and this is what it smells of. Because I bet she's got a perfume, hasn't she?
I think she
Dion
has actually...
Dion by Dior or something like that.
I think she's released a fragrance, yeah.
Yeah. You know it, don't you? You wear it.
I wear Eau de Dion.
Yeah, Eau de Celine.
Eau de Celine.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I've just remembered another crap school trip as well. I really was quite unlucky. They used to take us to a tank museum.
A tank?
I've been to a tank museum.
Is it Bovington Tank Museum?
I can't remember. No, it's somewhere in the southwest. They didn't take us very far.
Oh, no, Bovington. Is it?
Yeah, it is Bovington.
It is Bovington, yeah.
Yes.
Because I remember going there, and we actually saw when I was about five, and they were all having manoeuvres, and it was like before paintball, and they actually chuck paint in each other through these tanks. And it was quite scary, because I wasn't sure, you know, I didn't really understand what was going on. I thought the country was at war or something like that, so I was scared by the whole thing. Much better if you come from that part. The word Monkey World. You can't get better than Monkey World.
I have
you?
Still not been to Monkey World. Can you believe it?
Oh, those still orangutans. They are great. I've seen them in the jungle. I actually had one wee on me in the jungle
Did
in
you?
Borneo. Yeah. He didn't take the... You wander around and you're trying to... Obviously, you want to see them in the wild because you think that'd be fantastic. But yeah. Of course, they don't want to see you. They think that you're on their turf. And so he was about 200 foot up in the air, and a nice little bit of orangutan wee-wee comes trickling down. And the bloke says, I think he's trying to tell us something. And apparently, they're very, very strong because they look quite cuddly, don't they? But
I wouldn't cuddle an orangutan.
No. Well, the little ones. We met the little ones.
Cute.
Oh, they are cute.
Nice.
Yeah, and they want to hold your hand and all that shit, but you're not supposed to get too involved with them, otherwise, you know, they won't go back to the wild. But,
Bristol Zoo, I once saw a gorilla poo in its own hand and then eat it.
Oh, because what they normally do is they're supposed to poo in their own hand and then chuck it at you, aren't they? But
yeah,
it obviously,
it just
you like the look of you. So if I've got this poo, I would normally chuck it, but, you know, she looks too nice. I'll show you what else I can do. You've got to be hungry to eat your own poo, haven't you?
Well, I think it was more kind
was it
of
showing
like,
off.
Was I think it was showing off a bit, and knowing that it's probably done it before and got the kind of like disgusted reaction.
Oh,
I probably
okay.
quite enjoyed, like, because it's a bit like, stop looking at me now.
But it's quite hard, though. I think if you're having, you know, if you were sort of walking down an alleyway and somebody pooed in your own hand and ate it, you would think twice going past them, wouldn't you?
Have you ever pooed in your own hand? Call 03.
Well, there will be some people, isn't there?
It's like people at Glastonbury, I bet somebody's going to poo in their own hand in Glastonbury.
Well, I mean, I've seen some shocking sights at Glastonbury. I haven't seen that, but I've been to a few places that it looks like everybody's pooed in their own hand. Tell you that. We'll get Steve's stories on Glastonbury, hopefully, in a minute. So shall we play a little track now, and then we'll get Steve in a moment when we've talked about what's coming up at Glastonbury, and also there's a few films we might want to discuss as well. But first up, here is... Apparently, is it Messed Up World or Fucked Up World? I'm not quite sure, but it's pretty reckless. We'll find out. It's on now. Well, it seems to be playing as far as I was concerned. It's saying to me that on air at the moment is the FUBAR jingle, but I'm not quite sure what has happened there. That's the music coming back in, so it's definitely not that. My producer's telling me to push that up for no reason, because the music is still playing. But who knows what's going on exactly now? I'll leave that down.
Just leave that.
Yeah, we'll leave it. I tried to play my jingle. I could try and play it again. Should we just try and see if it's coming
in? I think we upset that bloke by saying that he sounded bored.
And he's taking it off. No. And so I just sound like him now. I say, would you like to call 0330-223-0200? Call now for the Andy Parsons Show. Why not? I'm quite interested in it. You might be too. Andy Parsons ripping a hole in the news. He'll never do a jingle for us ever again.
No.
So welcome back. This is the Andy Parsons Show with Amanda here. Now, we're going to be talking about Glasto. What's your feeling about Glasto? Are you a Glasto fan?
I have been to Glasto quite a few times, and I always loved it. But when it rains, though, it can be quite a miserable experience.
I never minded the rain, I'll be honest with you. I mean, really? I prefer it with the sunshine. But, you know, sort of, you know, you're there for the alcohol and the bands, and the bands are, you know, it doesn't really affect you when you've had a whole skin full of alcohol, whether you're wet or not, really.
Yeah, I think after 4 days, though, of just walking in the mud can just get a bit... It can just be a bit...
You certainly don't go and see the band slightly further afield. You think, oh, well, it's a bit too far to walk now. I've done... You know, it's like wading through treacle for about 3 hours just to get to the other side of the field, isn't it?
And just trying to keep your wellies on your feet is a full-time job there as well. But I love it. I love Glastonbury.
So why are you not there this year? With any particular reason?
Because it's probably going to rain.
You get to the age now where you think, oh, no, I can't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would... If I had a nice little cottage,
yeah,
like on the site.
Yeah.
Like
if you were like Emily Eavis or something like that.
Yeah, if
I... You had your farm there.
I once walked through their farm to get in because we got somebody to guide us round. Because it always used to be able to get in so many ways as well. Now you've got to buy a ticket.
Yeah, that's it. You used to be able to climb over the fence, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to knock the fence down. I was there 1 year. Loads of people just knocked the fence down.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like, was it certain football fans at the World Cup, didn't they? They tried that. I forget who it was.
Oh, yeah,
was
they Croatia did, didn't they? Was the Croatians, wasn't it? Yeah.
They just thought, oh, well, let's go through the press room and then we'll get tickets that way.
I mean, it was practically made out of cardboard anyway, you could see.
And then they all had to march back. And I'm not sure I want to spend time in a Brazilian jail. I just got that feeling.
Yeah, probably not. No, yeah, not probably not great food.
So who would you, if you were there this weekend, who would you be excited about seeing? See, I went last year and I was all excited about seeing the Stones, who were brilliant. I mean, you know, you think, well, they're not around for much longer, are they?
No.
They've been Saga members for a while and they're picking up their pension for some time.
What's their collective age again? It's not like 608.
Well, I'm not sure what their collective age is, but I think the average age is 69, isn't it? So
right.
It must be 70 now. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you count girlfriends as well, then the collective age is much the same. But, you know, you see sort of, there is... You know, you've got a demented pigeon as the front man and a resurrected corpse on drums and a pirate king and a walking advert for Just For Men. And you want to see if they can make it swing for 2.5 hours, and they could.
Yeah, I saw bits of them on the telly, actually, and I thought it looked really good. But I love watching old footage
Of
the Stones and Mick Jagger so much that I think I would find it quite difficult to look at them now.
Yeah.
Just because I just thought that... I love the Stones.
Had tremendous energy on stage, though.
Did they?
Oh, he give it some. I mean, I think he had to go halfway through for a little loo break or something, you know. But, but yeah, you know, maybe his bladder's not up to too much.
Well, he needs
to
get something fitted and then he hasn't got to bother popping off to the loo.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's various accusations that there are some pop stars...
aren't there? I've heard that.
Mind you, there were accusations about Jimmy Savile. And they were all right. So there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got away with it, didn't he?
Well, yes.
Well, yeah,
there you go.
So this year, I would probably, I'm just having a look at the lineup now, I really like Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
So I'd go, I'd definitely be wanting to.
So they're closing the Pyramid Stage on Friday. Elbow before them. I'd like to see Elbow.
Elbow would be amazing to see.
I think I didn't actually see Elbow at Glastonbury, but it was one of those where, you know, the fact that I can't fully remember it, that's a full Glastonbury experience,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
But yeah, I'm pretty certain I did. And one day like this, as you can imagine, went down good. Lily Allen's there. She'll be doing URL Badlands or whatever the new single is, which I think we're going to be playing later.
We're going to be playing that, yep. So who needs Glastonbury, folks? You've got it right here.
That's it. And my interesting pick from what I can see here, playing also on the Pyramid Stage, the English National Ballet. Now, that's
amazing.
That is a curious choice for Glastonbury, isn't it?
That's what I love about Glastonbury, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could go and see anybody.
That's going to freak people out. On a Sunday morning, when you've just woken up, you're trying to work out exactly where your tent is, you know. There's posters of Celine Dion on this tent that you've woken up on. And, you know, and the English National Ballet step out on the Pyramid Stage. You think you're in a parallel universe,
won't
you?
That's insane. What time are they on? So they must be...
11:30, which is about as early as it gets in Glastonbury, isn't it?
So
and then Blondie, who I thought were closing or something like that, they're on Friday at 12:15 on the other stage. 12:15, but not at night, like 12:15.
At lunchtime.
Blondie, you'd think, you know, loads of people would like to go and see Blondie.
I saw Blondie quite recently. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Yeah, well, and the same energy as you remember?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't really do very much on the stage, and she might want to go to bed early or something on the Sunday anyway, so she might have asked to do a bit of an earlier.
Yeah, well, I would like to see them. I thought they would be closing somewhere and doing something.
Who are closing then? Who are the
closers on the main stage? Arcade Fire, Metallica, which we'll no doubt be talking to Steve about, Kasabian on the Sunday, and then before them, the sort of... Elbow, as we were saying, Jack White on the Saturday, and then Black Keys and Ed Sheeran. He's after Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton's
is
mate.
Is Dolly there?
Dolly's there.
Oh, amazing.
Now, there's an attraction I wouldn't mind seeing.
I love Dolly.
Dolly. Not sure her as an attraction, but the...
She's
Dolly Land, isn't she? Isn't there
Dollywood.
Is it Dollywood?
Yeah.
You know too much. But tell us more about Dollywood.
I have... a friend of mine's been to Dollywood because she's a massive Dolly
Parton
fan.
It's always a friend of you with you, isn't it?
I know. A friend of mine's been to Dollywood. I just live my life precariously through...
Precariously or vicariously?
Actually, precariously, I was right the first time. Through more interesting people, I can talk about them on the radio.
Yeah. No, well, I did see a little bit about Dollywood, but it's interesting having your own theme park, but she does a lot of good work, doesn't she? Does a lot of good work for charity.
Yes,
Dolly
she
Parton.
Does. She's
a good lady.
A fine character.
So, yeah, so we're going to be talking to Steve about this and also about these smells to the phones, which you're still... We won't get people to contact us on the numbers that I failed to play earlier.
Should we remind them now?
Yeah, well, should someone try and press it again? Or do you think
press it again.
Yeah, okay. And if not, you've got to come in with it. Are you ready?
All right.
Are you ready to pretend if it doesn't come in? So it's still not working here for whatever reason.
Right.
Oh, yes, it is.
03302230200 is the phone number. Or you can text on 078600173. Oh, God, no wonder.
The excitement. Just tweet us, at Foobar Radio, at Mr. Andy Parsons. That'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think I like the idea of a smell to a phone. I've got to be honest with you. You know, well, I think, you know, if you... There's certain advantages, aren't there? If you're in a meeting... and you squeak one out and it turns out to be a smelly one, you can just blame your phone, can't you? Say, oh, I'll just turn it off now.
Oh, yeah,
I had it on there. Oh, somebody sent me, oh, that's terrible. A farticon or whatever has come through. And, you know, or you can actually have it, turn it on silent, but have it silent but deadly. You know,
gosh,
so just leave it around.
A deadly message on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are the circumstances? Well, that, maybe...
You can have emails.
What the circumstances why you'd want to send a smell?
But what happens if, say, you get an email? It'd be quite good to have a smelly email that gives you an idea of what the email's about, wouldn't it? You know?
Just like a clue.
Yeah, a little, you know. But let's say you get an email from the Bank of Nigeria and you just get a little fishy smell or something like that. It just gives you a little inkling that you want to be on your guard or something.
That's
you can
an
see
teenage
boys though having it's going to be smell my finger ones, isn't it?
Totally.
But there's a market out there for it. I can see it. Apparently they can do 300,000 smells, they reckon. I didn't even know there were.
I didn't know there were 300,000 smells. I thought there were good smells and bad smells.
Just the two smells.
Just the two
what
smells.
What is your favourite smell? Do you have a favourite smell? Are you in terms of, obviously fresh coffee is it?
Mown grass.
Do you like mown grass?
It puts me in a very good mood. It does put me in a good mood. If I can smell grass being mown, it makes me... It just takes me back to my childhood.
I get excited by the smell of the sea. Which is
yes, yes.
You know, because you suddenly go, oh, yeah. And apparently it's some decaying bacteria, isn't it? That's what's supposed to be the smell. The actual smell of the sea is no... Because we think it's salt or something like that, but it's actually decaying bacteria, and that's the...
You've just ruined the sea for me now.
Well, that's it. Oh, the smell of that decaying bacteria. Whey! So let's play a track, and then yeah. we'll get... Welcome along to Andy Parsons on FUBAR. So we're trying to get you. That was Paolo Nutini. He's at Glastonbury, and we're trying to get you to sort of email us and text us, and to generally contact us on Twitter or whatever as to smells you would like to send to the phone. There's going to be an O phone out next year. You'll be able to send whatever you like over the phone. We want to know what smells you would like to be able to send. But meanwhile, in the studio, we have Steve Hargrave. How are you, sir?
Hey, good evening. You're doing well. I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's very kind. It's always good to have
Syndrome when you're in here, isn't it? And you're just like, what's that do?
It's all working. It's always, you know, to have a compliment so early on in the show.
There you go.
Boost you for the second hour.
That's what I've been brought in to do.
That's it.
Love G you up a little
thank
bit.
Thank you very much. I'm just trying to work out where your mic is if I don't like what you're saying next.
It's very possible, actually.
So what is your take on Glastonbury? Is it a good, have they booked well this year? What's your take on it?
Oh, you know what? I'm tempted to go. I don't care because I'm not going. Does it sound really bitter and twisted? I've just got that thing. I go most years, although I don't know whether I'm a natural Glastonbury girl because I tend to go for work. And it tends to be this sort of thing where you end up staying in Pilton in a little cottage at the top of the hill. And I like that. And I like having a shower, and I like you can go back to a nice proper toilet. And it smells relative. It smells a bit of old man because it's a cottage that we rent from an old fella down in Pilton. Lovely guy, I'm sure. But I haven't quite done it properly for years. So I'm not sure I'm truly qualified to be the person to go, I love that festival spirit of just being caked in mud and carrying on whatsoever. Because frankly, that fills me with fear and dread. I like to get clean at the end of the day.
Well, I when I watch those people going out, the day visitors, I always resented them. I thought, you haven't signed up to the full experience.
You do the full thing.
Yeah.
Are you in those tents that end up floating in a lake and you don't care?
Well, it's the pop-up tents, isn't it? You've got those pop-up tents now.
Like a little boat.
Yeah, but the thing is, they don't pop down. That's the trouble. They pop up. Yeah. They're a right bugger to actually
put
away.
But the thing in the advertiser goes, like, 10 seconds to get up.
Yeah.
And about, 10 hours to try and crack
that's the great thing on Sunday is when you leave Glastonbury and you actually have a look, and there's all these people who just go, after 24 hours, 48 hours of drinking, I can't face it. And they just go, I'll buy a new one next year. Yeah. I am off.
Michael Evers isn't very happy with those people.
Well, no, because
the cows aren't very happy.
I think, though, that they actually, what they do is they now Oxfam go around and they actually encourage you to leave your tent.
Pick
and then
tent.
They take them over to Africa, so they actually use them as temporary villages and what have you.
Can they get them down? I guess they don't need to.
Well, I guess they've got experienced people. They get a team.
Someone can do it.
Yeah.
The bands are interesting this year, aren't they? They are. I heard you talking about Arcade Fire, and you really like Arcade Fire, which is a great band. I mean, they're playing in London, aren't they, next week as well. They're kind of everywhere at once. I saw them in Primavera, brilliant live band. But the Metallica question, isn't it? That's the thing that seems like the last few weeks, every week there's been someone asked about. Media.
Is he going to kill a bear on stage? That's
what exactly. I reckon that's what it's going to be.
Well,
about.
He doesn't do the killing, does he? He just observes it and goes, oh, look, they're going to kill that bear.
But he doesn't do the killing. He's a hunter. He's an acknowledged hunter, isn't he?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, for this film, he only talks about it. Mm. But, you know, that's why he does it, because they know that he loves a bit of hunting.
You know, we had the best pro Metallica person that I met the other week was Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey.
Right.
He was very excited about Metallica playing Glastonbury.
And is he going, Hugh Bonneville?
Well, apparently so, yeah.
He doesn't strike me as the bloke who would enjoy Glastonbury.
Down the front, loves Metallica, apparently, it would seem.
Really?
Although he was also paying Kasabian very high compliments.
Right.
I think he's just nice to everyone. Likes everyone. It's nice to be nice.
I can't see Hugh Bonneville down the front.
Yeah.
You know.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, you'd be at the back there trying to get his squire to go down. Watch it for me, then tell me what you thought.
Tell me what
the thing
like.
I always found interesting about this argument about a band and whether they should play Glastonbury or not, the Jay-Z question, right? When it came up, it was always like people said, oh, it's not going to work. Then when they did it, people were like, it worked. It was a roaring success. Now, we were down there reporting that night when he played. It wasn't packed, that field. It was not packed.
Well, I'm trying to think, because we saw the tail end of it. I'm trying to think what we went to see. I think it was Biffy Clyro.
Yeah.
If I
remember. On the other stage, were they?
Yeah, they weren't. They were actually on the, I think it was the as then named John Peel stage. And and then they finished. And then we saw the tail end of JC, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, but it wasn't packed. And that was the thing. They said classic headliner. Everyone went and saw it. They didn't. But that, in a way, presents the joy of Glastonbury. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. How many stages are there?
53 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
A stupid number.
You'll be all right. You find something.
And you've got, you somewhere. Know, most of the time, you fancy just going to the sacred field anyway and just having a chill out, don't you? So getting
the bongo people on the hill, that's the That does your head in after a while.
Yeah,
I mean, it's beautiful.
Wherever you are, you can hear those bongo people.
Yeah, you
don't have to be on the hill, do you? So, and what, have you got a favourite memory of Glastonbury? What's your...
Well,
in terms of what was the one moment when you, just as mine, I'm not even a massive fan, but who's the Lebanese artist? He's quite a good looking guy. I've forgotten his name now. Anyway, it's not going to be the great anecdote. Anyway.
Oh, no.
It was a year. It was
give us a clue.
Carting it down. His name will come to me. And it was, he was playing on the other stage and it had been pissing it down for about 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then just in the middle of his set, the sunshine came out, and it was that moment.
Those moments,
and it was like the whole crowd just suddenly went apeshit at the sunshine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it was just, you know, one of those where you go, oh, this is brilliant, and you just sort of have a slight out body experience, and then you go, I'm going home now. This moment is done.
We mentioned those sort of those weird ones, like Dolly coming on in the middle of the day, or Blondie, as you say, on middle of the day. Those slots are often the real great moments. Dolly's Sunday, I think, I presume on that. They say the elder statesman or woman section, right? Which
Shirley Bassey, I saw in her welly boots, and that was a moment. The full Shirley Bassey with welly boots on.
I'd love to see Shirley Bassey live.
Yeah, no, she was great.
See, that's why Glastonbury is so brilliant, because you can just be walking along, ambling along, and then you can look up and go, oh, look, there's Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
Oh, just in her wellies on the stage, and like you can just stand there and watch.
Well, Leonard Cohen was playing once, and sort of stroll past in between, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then you stand and watch a bit.
Well,
of that.
I saw Kate Moss, and the year that she got slagged off, Michael Eavis slagged her off, saying that everybody thinks Glastonbury's really middle class now, and it's trouble is it's people like Kate Moss. And you think Kate Moss, she was there smoking, like she had two cigarettes, she's like a little bottle of vodka in her hand, she's from Croydon. If she's middle class,
was that when she was still with Pete Doherty as well?
I think it was just after, I think, but yeah, you know, it was certainly the Kate Moss I saw wasn't, you wouldn't have described it as top middle class at that moment.
I'm already seeing photos though today from people down there with the mud starting to fall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you got an update? Is it raining yet? Is it, you know, a bit of Schadenfreude? Is it pissing it down?
It doesn't appear to be pissing it down as far as I know, but right. From the photos I've seen, there is definitely mud underfoot. Although another one said all the journalists were basically going around the entire site trying to find the one patch of mud. Or maybe creating their own mud with some water or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's meant to really rain tomorrow.
And what's the talk of the secret gigs? Did I hear Mumford & Sons, the Waitrose Wurzels, were supposed to be sneaking in somewhere?
Who knows? That fills me with dread, frankly.
You haven't got any little gossip
Well, Coldplay was the main one, wasn't it? The Park Stage thing was Coldplay. Or they've got a new album out. Maybe Chris Martin will pop up and do something because he's usually knocking around. And then the ongoing, always, every festival concert from now on until eternity will always have a David Bowie rumour.
Right.
David Bowie, of course. David Bowie? David Bowie might be there. Yeah. David Bowie is friends.
He's the best David Bowie.
Yes, very good. But David Bowie's friends at Arcade Fire has played with them in the past, so inevitably they get the, oh, maybe David Bowie will pop up with Arcade Fire.
Well, also because Prince was over, wasn't he? And he was going, well, he's playing people's houses. Couldn't he play Michael Eavis's house?
Everyone thought he'd be the last headliner before they announced Metallica. And then I was reading another poll the other day that said, like, about 4 out of 5, this poll said, 4 out of 5 Glastonbury Festival people would give their ticket back now that Metallica are playing. And I don't think that was true.
But I'm trying to think, who are they up against? Who have they got on the other stage?
Jake Bugg's on the other stage.
Jake Bugg, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's sort of very different, I guess.
It is. Well, it's certainly different.
I mean, I was just scrolling through all the... Look at these, the stages. Like you say, there's about 50-odd stages anyway. So, yeah, just have a few drinks and go for a wander if you don't like them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably the best option. Jake Bugg's against him. You've got the Pixies on Saturday as well. Brian Ferry, there you go, that's different.
Right.
And apart from sneaking off to your little place in Pilton, how did you cope with the Portaloos? What did you have a secret? Did you go and did you do the smell test? Did you give it a little look in?
You know, there comes a point when you just have to concede, although it's better for us blokes, isn't it? Because we can obviously go to those bits where you can just have a little whittle.
Well, that's the whole thing. Michael Eavis is not keen on people having a whittle in the...
Not in the hedge.
Not in the hedge.
In the urinal section.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, just, I don't know... There is some festivals where if you go like really early in the morning or late at night, those are sometimes the best times to go.
Well, you check when they've been cleaned, isn't it? When they've come around with a big tractor. I mean, that is a poor job. If you think of the poor jobs, the people who empty the Portaloos.
The guy with the big hose that just comes along.
There's always those festival rumours as well about people kind of coming a proper landing,
getting tipped over,
landing in the pit, or that, you know, those are rumours that go around when you're actually on site as well. Like, oh, yesterday one of those things that pump out the shit exploded, and this woman got covered in shit. And
the worst thing about classic, there's these big toilets right by the main stage, and people camp right by them.
Like, they do,
right,
don't
by
they?
Them, those ones right in front of the main stage.
And when it rains, you don't know what's mud and what's not.
No, exactly. It just kind of dribbles into this big gooey bog, and then you think that's your home there.
And also, depending which way the wind's going, isn't it? This is fine, and the wind changes direction. Go, no, this is the worst tent position.
So, if somebody was at Glastonbury with one of these new phones, they could text us the smell of the toilets.
I don't get these phones.
Have you've heard about this?
I was watching the video of it. Did you watch the video?
No, honestly. Well, tell us what's on the video.
Well, the video does kind of present it in a kind of googly, apple-y, kind of very jolly, intellectual, scientific way to make it feel like this is something we really want. But it just kind of gets to that point. And it inevitably has these two idiots, frankly.
Right.
One in LA, one in, I don't know where the other guy is, maybe Paris or somewhere in Europe. And they're texting each other their smells. And it's this very smug guy and this girl. And it just, you know, they annoy me. So that makes me annoyed about the concept. It's this thing where it sort of insists that this whole problem that we've got at the moment of living our lives just by trying to sort of impress other people with what we're up to and our Instagram and us. And it just seems to be another thing on the pile of that, you know, like...
But that's...
I'm experiencing this and it's so awesome and your life is just totally rubbish. So I'm just going to text you this smell right now because, frankly, it's the best thing ever, darling.
You know it's
going
to work.
And all they were doing was spending their whole day, like, he was going, oh, I'm making a sandwich. It was like outdoing each other.
Well, yeah, but
coffee, sandwich, I'm making a cheese sandwich. Smell that. Smell my cheese. And it was just like, what, are you living? Are you having any sort of...
But imagine MasterChef when they can actually send and they go, oh, this smells good. And they actually send...
You could do smelly vision.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
That is the next thing. But people, you know, just spend, you know, their lives tweeting their meals.
Mm.
So this will be what they'll be doing, because people love taking photos of their dinner and sharing it with everybody else.
But it's a guessing game, isn't it? Because you have to make up you have to choose which flavours it smells like. That's what you have to do. So if you get a coffee, you have to go and select chocolate and strawberry aftertaste. And
I don't.
But it just meant, like, it makes it really, you know, why are you sat there going, oh, I don't know, is this, you know, with Instagram where you're trying to choose which filter you're on, and then you think about 10 minutes later, like, why am I doing this? Yeah. What does it matter?
I think that's called procrastination, Steve.
Okay, maybe. It's not for me, then. I think worry too much about it.
Whilst we're talking about technology, have you seen this other story where, Skimo, have you heard of Skimo?
What's that?
This is this new thing where you can actually, it'll watch your box set for you, and it'll give you a potted history, so you don't have to watch the entire box set. So apparently an average half hour episode, it'll get down to 2 minutes for you, and it picks out the scenes from it. And what it does is it listens, apparently, to the tracks and the build up and all that. So it supposedly picks out the core scenes.
It's an actual thing.
It's an actual thing.
That
Skimo
is purely so people can join in the conversation about the Game of Thrones at work.
Yeah.
But
it would be quite convenient, wouldn't it, just to watch the potted highlights for 2 minutes for, you know, for something, you know, because sometimes you think, well, I've got 5 hours of my life to invest.
It'd be like, you know, reading the last page of a book, just so you know what happens.
Well, a little bit.
I did that with Harry Potter, just so I knew.
Yeah, well, it worked out.
I was happy ending.
But all the books ending much the same way, don't they? Everything's okay. So, in terms of this thing, though, you think in the England football matches would have been quite good, though, wouldn't it, if you could have just watched the referee whistle, seen the score, and gone, well, I'm glad I've not wasted 2 hours of my life on that one.
me and my mate, actually, we watched, and this was even worse, because it was the game yesterday, the one that didn't matter, but, or the other day, whenever it was, I'm trying to forget about it, Tuesday, we watched it on pause, because I was late round ears, so we really did watch it, like, 2 hours later.
And you go, why?
We joked about going, firstly, why does it matter, they're useless, secondly, shall we just watch it, just go and Google it? No, we won't, we'll do it, they might score, they might, no, what a waste of time. It's bits of my life.
But also, I was wondering how this actual technology works, because if you imagine a film which has got loads of flashbacks in it and stuff like that, and then they sort of, you know, it's something like Memento. Imagine trying to watch that film in like a cut down version. You think the machine would explode or something? <wouldn't it?
laughs> Do you have to subscribe to this?
No, I think it's coming out. Skimo, it's called
Skimo.
Skim with an O on the end.
It just sounds like something you've come
but
up.
Then,
with.
No,
I think you're winding us up.
great idea.
You can send smells to phones now. It's all there. It's all possible. Let us play a track. We'll come back with Steve in a minute. We'll get final thoughts on Glastonbury. what's going on. We'll try and get an update for you, and we'll also try and find out some of the smells that you think should be going to various phones.
Agenda.
There we go. Yeah, I'm still not a fan of that jingle, but anyway, I thought I'd play it one more time just to check because we've got it up and running now. So with us still here with Amanda and myself, we've got Steve Hargrave in the studio. So the, as well as talking about Glastonbury, there's a couple of films supposedly on the agenda.
Yeah.
Rambo 5, is it?
Yeah, which is the news we got through this week that Sly Stallone is gloriously going to definitely do another Rambo one. Rambo 5. He's 67.
67, yeah. I mean, I was surprised. I actually thought he was older than that. I checked that it was 67.
For some reason, is he lying? Do you think he's got to that point? Let me check this out. Has he been 67 for a while?
Well, it could be. But then I was thinking, well, look, he's got this legacy. Why ruin his legacy? And then I was thinking, well, how much of a legacy has he got? He's done enough turkeys in the past that why does it matter if he does one more?
It's interesting, isn't it? The whole Expendables thing. I was in Cannes for the Expendables 3. Glorious, brilliant, over-the-top launch they did of it. It's not out yet, but they did this press thing where it was him and Arnie and Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Dolph Lundgren.
No, Bruce Snuts. Willis, apparently.
Bruce Willis. They didn't like him.
No, he asked for too much money, apparently, didn't he? They'd fallen out.
They fell out, yeah. I think Sly tweeted something about that, which I thought was quite funny. Right. But anyway, yeah, they were there for that, and it was just, you know, all these old fellas, which is quite laughable, sat on tanks coming down the road, and then all got off, and then they went away. Have you seen Expendables? Have you seen one or two?
I saw a tiny bit of one somehow.
Pretty interchangeable. I mean, they are kind of... One was very, very taking the piss, really, out of their old selves, you know, very knowing, referential. But I don't really know who the audience is for it, because... We enjoyed those films. I tried to watch it knowing I enjoyed them when they were around, like in the 80s.
But I thought
later.
It had tanked a little bit, and I was surprised that the second one came out, and then there's a third one.
Well, they're so silly that they're not... They're like over silly. They're not even silly, funny silly like the 80s ones were. Like,
but you mean he's not using up his own wealth? He must be making some sort of profit on them, though.
They make a lot of money. Yeah. They make millions. I just sometimes wonder, right, who actually goes to see these films. But I think it's like a younger crowd. But then you ask, why do they want to see old blokes like jumping around? You can never account for some people's taste. They like it. And it's because of the success of Expendables that he's decided that he should go back and do another Rambo one.
Right.
And that it'll be a really good idea. But I remember when the last one came out, I went to the premiere. I was working for Sky. I went to the premiere. It was 2008. It came out. We went to Las Vegas for the premiere. Oh, glorious back in those days. Fantastic times.
Glory days.
When the money was around, you know. The good old days. And he was actually good fun. It was really good fun. But that film did get slammed both over there and over here for being over violent.
What we'd really want to see, isn't it? Rocky v. Rambo.
Yes.
And he knocks himself out.
Yeah.
That would be one hell of a film, wouldn't it?
Sly, if you're listening. Give us a room.
When you think you can do your last film, do that one. Then hang your boots up.
He's a fascinating guy, though, because of the fact that, like, with the first Rocky, it was, you know, all these Oscars and Oscar nominated, and he was a different type of actor-writer when he started. Everyone thought, oh, look what he's going to be. And then he kind of went down that action route. And that's kind of where he remained, bar one or two different roles where he kind of tried to actually act. He can act more than Arnie can. Arnie's atrocious. Arnie's just appalling. But I just don't know if the world needs a sort of pension.
I don't think
Rambo.
It does. But did you see this thing where Kim Jong-un has got excited, apparently, about...
About the new movie, the Seth Rogen one.
Yeah, that's right.
Saying that it's basically...
Well, it's supposed to be trying to kill him, isn't it?
They've got... I mean, you know, we've seen movies where a Saddam Hussein lookalike's been sort of killed while he was still around. We've obviously seen the Hitler one. Tarantino did the one where they kill Hitler, but obviously Hitler's long gone, wasn't around to complain about that one. But yeah, apparently Kim Jong-un says it's basically like declaring war if this movie comes out. It's got James Franco and Seth Rogen in it.
They star as
journalists going over there, don't they? They had the idea that journalists get great access to world leaders under the sort of the notion they're doing an interview. So what if the journalists were assigned by the CIA to go and kill Kim Jong-un, and that's the premise of the film?
Well, you've seen various basketball stars and what have you, hasn't he?
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Which is really nuts. Yeah. Never quite wear that one out.
Go and kill him, Dennis.
His best mate is Dennis Rodman.
That's blown your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, I knew that. It's just something I'd forgotten, and then you just reminded me that... Didn't Dennis sing Happy Birthday to Kim Jong?
Oh, the world has got even weirder.
Basketball
I didn't know that.
Singing happy
yeah, he sang
birthday
Happy Birthday to him.
Yeah.
Instead of Marilyn Monroe and JFK, Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong Un.
But you just sort of the thing where you thought, where on earth did that come from? Where did Dennis Rodman end up being mates with him? And now this, do you think this is for real, this film, or is it just a great marketing technique?
Well,
I just think it sounds
there's
like
nobody
a
in North Korea is
going to
see the film anyway. So why Kim Jong Un is worried?
I doubt he knows about it.
Yeah.
I doubt he knows about it.
Well, his dad was a film buff, though, wasn't he? His dad was a film buff, and he used to kidnap people.
Yeah, he kidnapped all those directors,
that's
didn't
what,
he?
Yeah,
he made them direct all the
films. Yeah. So it's entirely possible. I like this thing that apparently that all of the people in North Korea think that he doesn't poo or wee. This is the whole idea about him, he doesn't poo or wee. And you know, he's obviously got to have these long speeches and everything, and he can't go off for a loop break because he is the god, as it were. But the whole idea that it's an act of war showing the film.
Yeah.
As if North Korea were going to go, you know, we are going to send a nuclear missile or whatever.
What's it called?
Well, he swears merciless retaliation.
Merciless retaliation.
Merciless retaliation
if the Rogan film is released.
But I was reading, they apparently have got two nuclear weapons. The best guess is how many, two nuclear weapons is what they've got.
Right.
So you're thinking, they're never going to send one, are they? And they're not going to send one. The Americans got 12,000. You don't send one and go, well, if the Americans step back, I've got one left.
I do like all the little pictures that circulate of him with his little kind of almost like plastic toys of weapons and things and touring all the factories and on his submarine the other week, where it just looks so rickety and old fashioned that it just thought, that's not really going to do anything.
Well, they've
just trying to look terrifying, like stood on top of it, and just like, no, that's not working.
No. But they have tested the weapons, haven't they? And most of them have exploded like seconds after takeoff.
Yes.
So, you know, if they do declare war, you think they're basically going to hurt themselves. That's what's going to happen if they do try and attack anybody.
I have the idea of war based on a Seth Rogen film, though. Seth would feel guilty for that.
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda. That's the only one I can think of. Sending the pandas.
He has made a few bad films.
Have you seen, what's the last one you saw? What have you seen?
I went and saw, I was doing the press for The Purge 2, which is one of these sort of concept horror type films from the States, where it's the notion in the, it's an interesting
concept. I've not heard of The Purge 1, so it's amazing how they get a sequel, isn't it?
Get with it, it's what all the kids are talking about.
Is
honestly.
It? Purge 1?
Just walking on my way to the office, everyone's talking about The Purge.
Yeah. I wonder what it smells like. Could I send it to a phone?
Yeah, I won't tell you what it smells like.
I bet it smells horrible. Those purges do, don't they?
It's a notion being, right, that to stop all violence in America, the government decided that for one night every year that all crime is legal. And so they have this concept in the film that for literally 12 hours overnight, anyone can go out and do anything they want. And that apparently decreases crime in the film, obviously. That was a great way to stop crime.
Yeah.
Because everyone just goes out and kills everyone in that year. But it means don't be horrible to anyone during the rest of the year, because that bit, they'll come after you. Lovely film.
Yeah.
Take the kids to see it.
It's
nice family fun, friendly one.
And who were you doing the press for it? What channel were you covering that for?
Oh, this is for, like, I do it for Getty. We get, it goes sent, gets sent around the world. But the producer guy is quite interesting because he literally makes films. They cost $3,000. Doesn't really pay anyone. And then pays them later when it's a success. And the last one made like $90,000. So
go.
He was quite happy when I met him.
So Steve's recommendation, Purge 2. go and see it with all your family.
Did the word recommend come out of my lips?
I may have put that to you.
They might put that on the poster. Poster. How many stars are you giving it, Steve? Always holding up five fingers.
Steve, it's been two fingers.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And look forward to catching up with you at some stage.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah. And we're going to play now, is it? I think maybe a little bit of Second City and I Wanna Feel. There we go. That's what you have to do. And some of you have done it. We have been asking you for the first hour. We asked you about attractions, disappointing attractions. And now we wanted to know, what smells would you like to send and to who? What have you got in front of you, Amanda?
In front of me, from Queen Bee. Now, I totally agree with what Queen Bee's saying. She's saying that she'd take a photo of dog poo, mail it to the crap owner who didn't pick it up so they could also smell it.
I think that is good. You've got to get their email, haven't you? Most of the time, though, you don't have the email of the person who's done the poo, do you? So
not of the person, no.
No.
Or of the dog.
No. So there's only one problem with that suggestion. It's a great suggestion, but you've got to find their email first, haven't you? Or
that this is true, or just a dog owner that you know.
I mean, it's much simpler just to pick it up, follow them home, and then shove it through their letterbox, isn't it?
That is... to it. No, don't do that.
You heard it here first. The producer said it was okay.
We completely condone that in FUBAR. Yeah, I agree with what she's saying, though, because there's just... It always heartens me greatly when I see somebody stooping with that plastic bag on their hand, willing to scoop up another being's poo.
Yeah.
So that the rest of us don't have to suffer it. I mean, that's love as well, isn't it? You've got to love your pet to want to do that.
Yeah.
Have you got any pets, Sandy? Do you scoop up dog poo?
No, I don't. I did have three cats next door that used to come and poo in my garden. And so they've now emigrated to Australia, and I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
all the convicts.
Well, no, the next door neighbour, I said, you know, your cat keeps pooing in my garden. And she said it was just marking its territory. And obviously I was trying to point out that it wasn't its territory. It was my territory.
But then what's she supposed to do? Just say to it, now, don't go and do a poo in Andy's house.
Well,
the thing is, I was saying,
am I supposed to have a poo in my own garden to stop their cat? How is it supposed to work? Am I supposed to maybe have a poo in my own hand and then eat it in front of the cat? Only for people who've been listening for the entire show, will that make any sense?
Yeah, and if you haven't been, then shame on you. Download it on the app.
What else have you got? Whatever smells.
Right, I have got... Jenny from Reading says, I don't like the idea of people sending me smells. I think a lot of blokes would use this opportunity to send their farts to everyone. Jenny, you are absolutely right. A lot of guys just seem to be, like, their biggest achievement of the day is the smell that they can produce.
I think you've been meeting the wrong guys. I mean, I'm always slightly embarrassed if you've left a big one in the toilet. You don't want to have to come out and go give that 10 minutes. That's not a badge of honour, is it?
For some men, I think it is. And I think Jenny's
You're
right.
You're meeting the wrong men.
Well, luckily, it's nobody that I know. But I think that, you know, a lot of guys would treat that as an opportunity to send unsavoury things.
Surely it's a shorthand for knowing that you don't want to spend much time with this bloke. You know, if they go, you know, oh, I love you, here's a horrible smell. You go, well, you're just mucked up. You know, I can move on from this safely.
So, right, you heard it here. Right, girls, if a guy sends you a text with a poo smell, then just...
Yeah,
they're not the ones for you.
They're not the ones for you. Move on. I've just lost it now. I got overexcited by talking about it. Here we go. It's come back now. It's all good. Chloroform would be good. It's just according to Nicola Partridge. Yeah. So you could silence a few irritants. So, yeah, I mean, that's dangerous, isn't it?
That is quite dangerous.
Yeah, that's a dangerous... I'm thinking I hadn't thought of taking it into those... Poison people with a smell. Poison gas through your phone.
Like biological warfare.
Yeah.
By text.
Kim Jong-un, he'll get into that.
He'll be the first. Although his probably wouldn't work.
No.
If his weapons would backfire and go through his own phone
and kill himself.
Completely. I reckon he hasn't even got a camera phone.
You don't reckon?
No, I reckon his phone can't even take pictures.
You still got one of those massive Motorola ones?
Yeah, I do. Well, that you've got to pull the aerial up.
As a bloke who just sort of goes around with it and just sort of passes it to him. It's too big to fit in his pocket. Anything else on yours?
Doug Segal has tweeted in.
Doug Segal? Yeah. He's one of my favourites.
Yeah, we like him. Yeah. And he says that he'd send the odour of resigned disappointment to the England squad. And we'll be talking a bit more about that later.
What is the odour of disappointment?
Resigned disappointment.
It's a specific form of disappointment smell. What do you think that smells like? Is there a smell? If you're disappointed, is there a certain pheromone, a disappointing pheromone?
Do you know, there probably is, isn't there? Is it a particular person?
Is it? Do you bottle a smell of somebody who's a bit disappointing?
Like Gordon Brown.
Oh, Lembit Opik.
Lembit.
Smell of Lembit. Are you a fan of Lembit?
I know Lembit.
Have you got a soft spot for Lembit?
I know Lembit. He's actually very sweet.
Well, he may be a very sweet man, but anybody who takes up wrestling and gets beaten up in some series, I mean, if you're feeling bad about yourself, watch Lembit on YouTube in a wrestling ring, and suddenly your life will not seem so bad.
The guy really
He's got a smell of disappointment now.
Well, he certainly did after that fight, because the guy, Lembit, Lembit said, he said this on the radio, so he won't mind me saying this, but he said that the bloke really hated him and actually wanted to hurt him. Like, actually wanted to hurt him.
Well, and he did hurt him.
And has challenged him to fight afterwards because he wants to finish him off.
Right.
And Lembit won't.
Round two. Yeah, well, I think, but he did some serious damage to himself. I forget, there was internal bleeding and
there
stuff.
There was like, a bit, yeah. So, that's probably not funny, but... if you were near Lembit at that time,
we were just trying for the smell of disappointment.
And you smelt him, it would be
disappointing.
It would be disappointing, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Any other suggestions for the smell of disappointment? We would like to hear them. Moving on from Philip Westlake, he says, "I would like to send the smell of Big Mac and French fries to Nick Clegg to prepare him for his new job after the election."
Oh, topical.
Ah, there we go. So that's Philip Westlake there.
That's a good
one,
Philip.
Be the smell of disappointment, couldn't it?
It could be.
Nick Clegg.
Actually, I think McDonald's...
The smell of lies?
I think McDonald's is the smell of disappointment. I think if that you'd be disappointed, that's your dinner.
The thing is, I always find with you actually get a sense of disappointment after you go, though, don't you? Because you think, I don't. This is from a purely personal perspective. I don't go for ages, and then I think, oh, I haven't had one for ages. I'll have one, because you sort of remember when you were 16 and like going out for a party meal with $2.99. You got quite excited by, and you go and have one, and then you feel dirty afterwards, don't you?
I don't eat it. I only go to those places to use their lav, so that's a whole different smell.
Yeah,
of disappointment. But yeah. I don't eat. I used to work at Burger King.
Right.
When after I finished university, I ended up working at Burger King on the local bypass. It wasn't even a proper Burger King.
I'm surprised you didn't say, I used to have a friend who used to work at Burger King.
I shouldn't have admitted to that one. It was my job there was to be, don't know, obviously Ronald McDonald is the really famous mascot of McDonald's, but can you name the Burger King mascot? Do you know who it is?
No, I don't. But there we go. That's top facts. I know what a squib is, and you know who the Burger King mascot is.
Because I used to have to dress up as the Burger King mascot for the children's parties. And the Burger King mascot is a character called Kidvid.
Kidvid?
Kidvid.
And never heard of Kidvid.
No, it's not a very good mascot. And the outfit was for a man three times my size. And the head was always really wobbly, and I couldn't see out of it. And I used to have to put on the trainers and everything. That were men's size 11s or something. It was ridiculous.
I bet they had a smell if they had different people.
They
using
did have
them.
A smell of disappointment
yeah.
around
yeah.
them. And I used to have to carry through the birthday cake, but I couldn't see. And everything was rather big. So somebody had to lead me out, like Kidvid was blind or something. It was.
Did you ever drop the cake or do anything to trip over? Put it in your own face?
No, I didn't. But it would be a better end to the story if I did.
It would have been tempting to, wouldn't it? Last day. Chuck it at the kid and go, you can keep your job.
I felt like chucking it at some of the kids. I really did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to apply for Kidvid when I'm bored. Have you got any other smells?
We don't have any other smells, but we've got another attraction one. Now, I think this one sounds quite nice, but Joe Atkinson says that a disappointing attraction is Barrow-in-Furness, where the lakes meet the sea. I don't think that sounds disappointing. I'm going to Google it. I don't agree
with
that,
Joe. Well, I've been to Barrow-in-Furness.
What do you think?
The thing is, I'm loath to slag it off, because they're a brilliant comedy crowd. There's a gig there. I forget exactly where it is. It's about, I don't know, from memory, you know, it's a decent size anyway, but I think it's some sort of sports hall they put you in, but they do theatre there as well. It feels like a sports hall, if it's supposed to be a theatre. But they're brilliant. They're up for it, because they don't get, you know, not much entertainment goes to Barrow, and so they're a little bit grateful.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I love going there for that reason, but there is not much in Barrow, and, you know, there's mud out there where the lakes meet the sea. So I can see why she's having a slag off, you see.
I see, okay.
So, you know, it's not a beautiful view from Barrow, and it's a long way to go, and if you've been to the lakes, Barrow is a disappointment, but there are good people in Barrow.
I'm looking at some photos of Barrow now.
It's doing much
going.
For you, is it?
No, I'm not going.
I've got some other attraction ideas, as well as the Pencil Museum, which seems, and the Lawnmower Museum. Apparently, Eden Ostrich World. No, I wouldn't mind seeing Ostrich World. I mean, you know.
That's in Australia. I've been to Eden.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
I didn't go to the Ostrich World, but Eden was lovely. Yeah.
But you're thinking, you know, okay, they're big birds, aren't they? And they run around a bit. They're quite quick. You know, you wouldn't want to see too many. It wouldn't be the same as Monkey World. But if there, if there was a few, you know, ones that they were looking after and stuff like that. And maybe what they need is a steam railway and an aquarium with the ostrich world. And then they've got the perfect attraction, haven't they?
Exactly. That's what the other place that you were saying is missing. A few ostrich running around.
And she's also suggesting, now I don't... The House of Marbles is definitely, that's in Devon, the House of Marbles.
And
it's quite good, the House of Marbles.
As in the game you play,
yeah,
marbles.
Well, it's basically, the kids get those marble runs that you can, and you create your own marble runs. And they basically, this place has done loads of really big marble runs. And, it may not be... I mean, my parents liked it, so it's not just a boy thing. Yeah, my mum was quite into that. She took me for the first time to House of Marbles. So, it's all right. It's quite a lot of good marble runs. And you just see all these... There's a clock that works on marbles. So, you can see marble runs for the seconds and for the minutes and for the hours. And it's an incredible bit of engineering. I don't know how well I'm selling it to the listener, but it's all right, House of Marbles.
Sold it to me. Now, how many marbles do you think they have in Marble World, Andy?
I don't care. But the other one she suggests, which I've not heard of and I'm slightly sceptical exists, the Ripon Tramp Museum.
Right, I'm Googling that.
That for us. Work out what you think of that. In the meantime, we'll play a track. When we come back, it's going to be our final hour. We're talking sport. We're talking World Cup. We might mention Luis Suarez. I think there must be a possibility that we will. Here up, though, is Stolen Dance by Milky Chance. Not the best entry that they've ever had. They're going, I wonder whether they're going to play a track tonight on FUBAR. Do you think they'll slightly muck it up? Here is Milky Chance with Stolen Dance. There we go. So, we're into the final hour, and it's sport time. We're talking sport, but before that, does the Ripon Tramp Museum exist?
I can confirm that the Ripon Tramp Museum is an attraction live and well in the town of Ripon. It's actually a workhouse museum, but you can learn all about tramps when you're there.
Who would have thought that? A workhouse museum. And that's basically any little highlights that you could glean from the internet?
Well, let's...
No, nothing. Nothing
not
came to
really.
Mind.
Not really.
Nothing really attracted you.
There's no kind of interesting inmates or anything like that.
So when I spoke to you during the week, you were just... Yeah. You hadn't watched the first England game. You were just about to watch the second England game. You were going to get into it, you said. I said there was a chance that after this game, you wouldn't need to get into it anymore because we'd be out. You said, no, there's no chance of us losing. We are going...
Is that what I said?
Yes, exactly
is
what
that,
you
is
said.
Is that what
it's
I
exactly
said?
What
I'm
said.
A fool. I'm a fool.
How did you get on watching us against Uruguay? What was your feeling?
Well, I have to say that I'm glad I had two bottles of wine under me. It was, I don't think... Right, I know I can only get excited about football once every 2 years. So, this lot, I don't know who the hell anybody was. I know that Wayne Rooney was there and... The Scouser one, what's his name?
Well,
Gerrard.
There was five Liverpool players in the starting lineup for England. So there was Henderson, and there was Sterling and Sturridge and Johnson and Gerrard, and then there was two Liverpool players for Uruguay, which was Suarez and Gerrard again. So that little nod on to his Liverpool teammate, and that was curtains for us, wasn't it?
Well, I just I don't think we looked that bad. I mean, I know nothing about the game, but
I'm glad I asked you.
But I don't think we looked that terrible.
Well, if you didn't think we looked terrible, then the Italy game, you'd have thought we were brilliant, losing 2-1.
Well, I had one eye on the Italy game, but I was working.
Yeah.
And I had a cheeky eye on half a telly screen.
Can you do that with your eyes? You're a talent.
Cheeky
like
half eye. Yeah. Look, there it is.
There we go.
Looking at it now.
Yeah.
But
you should be a teacher.
I have nothing to teach. But I should teach football punditry or something because I'm doing a brilliant job at the moment.
You are. Shall I ask about Luis Suarez? What did you make of that? He is now banned. Breaking news, he's banned for 4 months.
Is that all? Just for 4 months?
Well, that's it. I mean, my feeling, one, I'm sad that...
He's not going to learn his lesson in 4 months.
Well, what lesson does he need to learn?
Well, no biting. Somebody should bite him back. so he knows how it feels, because that's what my mum would have done.
Yeah.
If I'd bit one of my brothers or sisters,
yeah,
then my mum would have said, well, why don't I get them to bite you back?
And eye for an eye, is that was the rule in your household?
You make it sound
you've tricked him up, he can trip you up. Yeah.
Well, I think that I would have been discouraged from biting anybody, and yeah, quite possibly if I made a bit of a habit of it, then I might get a little nip myself.
But he's got a problem, hasn't he? He surely needs help rather than, you know, he's ruined his career.
He's got loads of money, he can afford to pay for his own help. Yeah. If he really wanted help that badly, I'm sure that he could go to some therapist somewhere.
And the fact that he had a tough upbringing and all the rest of it, you have not even an answer, not even for the fact that he's a wonderful footballer and we won't be seeing him
all right,
for 4 months.
A lot of people have had tough upbringings and they don't go around
biting
people.
That old argument. I'm just sad that he won't be playing football. I enjoy watching him play. He was our PFA Player of the Year and for 4 months we're not going to see him now. That makes me sad. I think he should be punished, but I wonder whether he needed... We'll talk to Phil Blacker shortly about this.
He'll probably agree with me, I reckon.
We'll get Phil's opinion on this. But what we want you to do is... people have been getting cross with the adverts. Joe Hart is doing a Head and Shoulders advert. It's not a great one, is it?
It's awful.
There are sometimes... You know, there are some adverts and you think, well... That's a funny advert, you know. It doesn't matter about the product or whatever, you know. It's a good advert, but there's somewhere you go. You couldn't name a price where I would. I mean, there were suggestions I should do a Head and Shoulders advert, which essentially would be moisturiser, wouldn't it, for me? But you couldn't pay me enough money, you know, to do an advert like that. You just think he must get so much, you know, crap thrown at him in the dressing room for that, wasn't it? You know, how many bottles do you take in, Joe, and all the rest of it? And people just putting stuff on his shoulders, you know, little white flakes. Yeah.
But aren't they all at it? I mean, like, Sturridge probably gets given a Subway every now and again, because he does these Subway adverts, doesn't he?
Well, at least that mentions Pele, one of the world's greats, and there's some reasonable footage, and there's quite a cute backstory about him being a kid and stuff like that. And then he gets the Subway, and there's a little kid across the street doing the Daniel Sturridge shuffle. I mean, you know, it's not. I'm not saying it's a great advert, but it's better than Joe Hart's Head and Shoulders one.
Are there any others that are doing... Does Wayne Rooney advertise anything?
The really disappointing one, though, isn't it? The Mars one. Have you seen that?
No.
The Mars one, basically, is there's three England players, one of which is Gerrard, right? They're trying to work out what to do with a free kick. Then they look in the stand. Some bloke's eating a Mars bar. And he then has a brainstorm and goes, oh, and he tries to do some various things to try and tell the England players. For some reason, they're looking in the crowd, right? And they go, oh, that fat bloke with the Mars bar, he's got the right idea, right? And then they take this free kick. Gerrard scores. You can imagine why Twitter was going absolutely mad about this, going, well, you know, Gerrard hasn't scored. He's nodded on. So maybe they could now show the advert in Uruguay, basically, you know, the bloke's there still contacting Gerrard. Gerrard gives him the thumbs up, nods it on for Suarez, and then Suarez turns to the bloke in the crowd and he gives him the thumbs up.
Well, Suarez would just take a bite of the Mars bar.
Well,
give Suarez a Mars bar.
He'd rush into the crowd and think...
He's just hungry.
He wouldn't eat the Mars bar, though. He'd eat the bloke. That's the thing, though, isn't it? That'd be the trouble.
With a nice Chianti.
Well, maybe that's what he needs to do. Hannibal Lecter as Suarez, the film. Because he's a good actor. We've seen him when he, you know, gets a little nudge. You think he's been shot from about 12 yards, don't you?
Yeah, so, diving around and rolling around on the floor crying. Get up.
Yeah.
So who are you rooting for now, then?
I've got Greece in the office sweepstake. And I'll be honest, they're not...
In this office?
Not this office, no. In my agency office.
Oh.
Yeah. So I got given Greece. And, you know, it looked like a poor choice. I think they were 250-1, but they're through. They made it through to the second round, unlike England. So they are my team, I guess, for the time being. But I don't think they're going to last long. But they're not playing... you know, it's one of ours, isn't it? I think they're playing Costa Rica. So, you know, given that we managed a 0-0 draw, there may be a very exciting Greece-Costa Rica. Is it? I think it is Costa Rica. I may have got that wrong. We'll check that.
I can check that one out. And Phil Black will be able to tell us anyway.
He'll know.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what he's coming here to do. He's going to tell us stuff. So, yeah, whatever you think, what should these England overpaid England footballers, what should they now be advertising? Get on, tweet us, text us. I'm going to have one more crack at the call number. 0330 223 0200. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That is not bad.
I'm going to go for the text now. Here we go. 0786 0017 300. Come on. I'm going to do my own jingle for next week.
I wish everybody could see the movements that you're doing.
They can. We've got a camera, so I haven't worked out where it is now. Here we go. I'm looking at it now. I've had my back to it most of the time. It's not going to get anybody watching on the webcam. It would have been disappointing so far because I've only just worked out where it is. But I'll give him a cheeky wink every now and again. So yes, we've got Phil coming up.
Yep.
Let's play a little track. Let's get him on the line, and we will talk a little bit more about football, and maybe from somebody who maybe, you know, rather than the passion of Amanda, maybe somebody who's got some intricate knowledge of what has in fact been going on.
What are you saying?
Nothing. I'm saying nothing. But maybe as a little tribute to Luis Suarez, here is URL Badman by Lily Allen. But now, on the line, we have Mr. Phil Blacker. Looking forward to talking to him. Here he is. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Evening, Andy. Very well, thanks. How's it going?
Yes, pretty good. We wanted some expert opinion.
what are you saying? Was I not...
Well, we started talking a little bit about England. You know, obviously, there were low expectations, weren't there, Phil? But then people got disappointed after we got knocked out after two games. So, obviously, our expectations weren't quite low enough.
No, I don't think anyone's expectations were that we'd be actually out within a week of the World Cup starting, which is how it turned out. I mean, there are factors behind that as to why it happened, and I actually think England played pretty well in the first game and not quite so well in the second game, but even having said that, that could have turned out differently, and circumstances transpired against them.
We played well in the first game, and then because we'd lost that our heads went a bit in the second game. Was that your feeling, or was it that the fact that Rooney playing at 10 wasn't as good as Sterling playing at 10? What was your feeling?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think actually the fact that we did lose that first game put all the pressure on the second match, and then all of a sudden it became effectively already a week into the tournament a straight knockout, and it just seemed that the players couldn't really deal with that, and they looked scared to me in that second game. The first match against Italy, they played with, you know, a fair degree of fluency. They were looking really effective, I think, as an attacking force, and Sterling was excellent in the game. And yeah, maybe the tactical tweak in the second match, swapping him and Rooney over, backfired a little bit. But I think it was more to do with the fact that the players knew in that second match they couldn't afford another mistake, and it just seemed like they sort of went back into their shells, and it was the same old England, and they were knocking long balls forward, and the sort of, you know, attacking play and all the optimism that came out of the first match just disappeared again.
And what, having seen England now, what do we need for the Euros? What positions do you think are in serious question at the moment?
Well, I think the big problem is defensively, isn't it? And I think that was an effect in the second game as well, because it seemed that maybe the forward players didn't quite have the same confidence in those behind them, and certainly the way that the decisive goal against Uruguay was conceded, coming straight from the goalkeeper, one big punt upfield flicked on and all of a sudden it was in the back of the net. I think there were major question marks at centre back, but you know, if you look at that squad beforehand, who else would you pick in those positions, and who would you pick now going forward? And there aren't many options in that position. I mean, it is somewhere that England used to be so strong, isn't it? The likes of Tony Adams, Sol Campbell, Des Walker going back before that, then John Terry and Rio, but who's there now? I'm not sure.
Do you think Luke Shaw and you know, Cahill are sort of, they are the future, and then we need to find another central defender and a right back? Is that sort of your thinking?
I think it is, yeah. I think you're right. I think we definitely need a right back. Glenn Johnson didn't actually have a bad tournament. I think he was actually one of England's better defenders, having probably the most question marks over his place going into it, and actually made the goal against Uruguay. But long term, I'm not sure he's the answer. We certainly need another centre back. I like Phil Jagielka at Premier League level, but I think he came up a little short. I don't think he was quite international class. Cahill had a decent tournament. Luke Shaw, I'm a huge fan of, actually. I think, yeah, he's going to be England's left back for the next 10 years. I don't think there's a problem in that position, but we do need another centre back. I think maybe John Stones at Everton is the one that I would kind of promote. He was actually in the sort of preliminary party. He travelled to the warm-up games, and I think he'll now step up and get his chance, but he's only really over really last few months breaking into Everton's team, so it's a big ask to make the step up, but I think long term he could be the answer.
And what did you know, Suarez, we've heard today, obviously the nemesis against England. He said it was retribution for all the criticism we received, unaware of what was going to happen in a few days' time.
I mean, it's crazy what has happened since then, isn't it? And yeah, blaming the English media for this vendetta they've got against him, and he was still doing it in defence of the bite against Chiellini in the Italy match. I actually watched that game and could not believe what I was seeing, because it's, you know, winning with his ban for Liverpool against Chelsea for biting Ivanovic, that was only the second time that he'd done it. This is the third time in his career, sort of a year or so later down the line.
And they're now showing pictures of when he played against Italy a year ago, when it looks like he was trying to bite him, but Chiellini turned around too quickly or something.
Went back for second helpings a year later and got his mouthful this time. I mean, it really is beyond belief, isn't it? But we've seen it this World Cup, the two sides of Suarez, unfortunately the other way around, because the two goals, brilliant finishes, both of them against England, and then the other side of his character, which means that we're not going to see him in the Premier League until the end of October, if indeed he is still at the Premier League. But I think the big losers in all this, and nothing that they can do about it, are Liverpool, of course, because either, you know, they're going to keep a player he can't play now until the end of October, or if they did want to sell him, then I've probably knocked about £20 million off his price tag, I think, given the fact, A, that he's unavailable, and now everyone has confirmation that he's clearly quite not right in the head.
Because there was talk about that he was going to Real, wasn't it? Or possibly Barcelona, because that's where his wife's family live, is that right?
Yeah, just actually days before this game, the Italy-Uruguay match, all the papers were full of speculation. I think it was his father-in-law who said he was convinced that Suarez was going to move to Spain this summer, with both Real Madrid, who wanted him last year as well, and Barcelona, who are looking for a new striker in the market for him, and that he was sort of agitating to make this move away from Liverpool, exactly as he did actually a year ago. But on that occasion they managed to sort of quieten down the speculation, give him a new contract. It looked like they'd kind of sorted out his head a bit, and he ended up player of the year, and now they're back to square one. I mean, you imagine being Brendan Rodgers, the Liverpool manager, watching that game, and all of a sudden he's got this whole situation again. So yeah, if he does go back to Spain, then A, are those clubs still going to want to take him? And I think they're going to pay an awful lot less for him now than they would have done a couple of days ago.
But surely if they get the player, if they just get him 4 months later than they would have got him, why should that affect the price so much?
The price, I think, is to do with the fact that, you know, his reputation now has again been further sullied. I mean, it was never particularly stellar in that case. I think everyone knows what a world-class player he is, and talking about him certainly earlier in this World Cup, after the England game, in the same breath of the likes of Messi and Ronaldo. But he's tainted goods now, isn't he? You know, this is the third time that he's bitten an opponent on the pitch.
He
hasn't learned from it.
What's the psychological sort of assessment? You know, does the red mist descend, and does he go back to thinking that he's three and somebody's taken the ball off him? Or what is the, I mean, it's sort of, you can't believe it. Why would somebody, you know, as good a player as he is, suddenly get the mist and bite somebody?
Well, exactly. This is why it is so mystifying. It must be something in his head that, yeah, the red mist must come down. But you just can't put yourself in his position, can you? When you're on the pitch, you know, a cross is coming in, you're challenging up against the defender, and you think, I know what I'll do, I'll bite him.
Well, what I liked was the way he fell over, feeling his own teeth.
Clutching his teeth, as if Chiellini's shoulder had suddenly attacked his teeth.
That's right.
Incredible.
You know, and you thought, he's a terrible actor, because if, you know, you think, don't point to the, you know, point to your lip or your nose or something, try and pretend it wasn't your teeth that had actually bitten his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. A bit of a clue that there might have been a bite there. I mean, the whole thing just doesn't make any sense. And even afterwards, I mean, at the time, yeah, he got away with it. The referee didn't spot it. Of course, didn't send him off in the game. But then the TV replays were pretty damning that he had done it again. And yet still, not just Suarez, but all of his Uruguayan teammates and the president, I think, of the Uruguayan FA were all saying, well, you know, this is a witch hunt against Suarez, against us. It's because we've, you know, nobody wants us in Brazil to do well, and the English media are on Suarez's back again. You know, just have a look at the pictures. He bit someone. How can they defend that?
And what about the argument, though, like if somebody goes over the ball tackle, they could, you know, break a knee, break a leg? And this, you know, you can even tell whether he'd bitten him or whether, you know, Chiellini had had his BCG, basically. It wasn't easy to see any marks. And so, in that case, you know, bad tackles are surely more dangerous than somebody rubbing their teeth on your shoulder.
Yeah, to a point. Certainly in terms of career-threatening injuries, you know, he's not going to end your career if he sinks his teeth into you.
Unless he's got the plague.
You wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, well, exactly. Or something, yeah.
Exactly. I think it's just the the whole nature of the offence. You know, if that happened on the street, if someone went up to you in the street and bit you, you'd get the police involved, I think, wouldn't you? It's just, I don't know, the whole stigma attached to it, and the fact that it's a game, it's a sport, and it's completely against any sense, not just a fair play, but it's bordering on a criminal offence on the football pitch. And it's the fact that it's happened again, you know. First time, I think he got a 7-match ban when he did it in Holland. Fair enough, precedent there. Did it again, 10-match ban. To do it a third time, I mean...
And it's basically a certain number of internationals and then 4 months, regardless of how many games fitted into that 4 months.
I think it's 9 internationals, I think, which, you know, depending on what stage of qualifying they're at for a certain tournament, that's probably about a calendar year, not being able to play for Uruguay. And then, yeah, you can't play for anyone, any football-related activity, I think, was how they phrased it, for 4 months. So, of course, he's got the rest of the summer. His World Cup, clearly, is over. I think that was always going to be the case, and it means he won't be able to return in the Premier League if he's still there with Liverpool until the end of October.
Yeah, and what, you know, you've been to a few World Cups. What are you making of this one? It seems to be you're working out pretty well.
Really good. It's actually, I think, probably the best World Cup that I can remember watching.
So you're slightly sad that you haven't made it out to this one in some ways?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, if I was following England, I'm quite glad that I didn't, because I think they were actually going home before a lot of the fans who had tickets, certainly for that Costa Rica game, actually got out there. I mean, it's the first time that they'd ever gone into the final group game. With already being out of contention and not being able to qualify. So from that point of view...
So disappointing that I believe certain people were watching the game on the other side, by the sounds of it, the third game. You were watching Italy rather than watching...
Yeah, I was as well. Yeah. I mean, England-Costa Rica was a complete dead rubber. I was sort of flicking across and keeping an eye on it.
Some biting going on, you were thinking.
Well, exactly. You've got to watch the biting, haven't you? But no, it's seriously, in a way, that is a shame that it's happened, because... all of a sudden, that is one of the major talking points from this World Cup. And when in years to come people talk about the 2014 World Cup, there is always going to be that footnote, oh, that was the one where Suarez, you know, bit someone again. Whereas I think the football actually has been brilliant. There's been some fantastic games already in the group stage. There's been almost as many goals in this World Cup than there was 4 years ago already. The group stage only finishes tonight, so plenty more still to come.
And were you enjoying the Scottish bloke who was in with the Uruguay supporters with his sort of Scottish flag jumping up and down when Uruguay scored?
Yeah, I did raise a smile afterwards, I think.
Yeah, but my favourite fact was that he actually lives in Northampton. And you're thinking he's going to come home to some trouble, isn't he? Yeah. Of his house is still standing.
Yeah, if anyone finds out where he lives, he could have a problem.
But what's Greg Dyke saying, you know, that he still thinks we've got a chance with 2022 in Qatar in 50 degree heat? He doesn't know what he's talking about, does he?
Not in that respect. I don't think anyone would give England a prayer there. I mean, what he's maybe making the point is that far down the line, hopefully the sort of changes to the structure and the grassroots that he's trying to bring in now might have borne fruit and we might actually have a better team. But in terms of the conditions, if indeed it does go ahead in Qatar, because there's still all the controversy about the alleged bribery and things like that, and maybe it would be moved, and still whether it's going to be played in the summer or the winter, which might make a bit of a difference to England's chances. But, you know, I wouldn't get too carried away with the whole doom and gloom that, you know, we don't have a chance ever again at a major tournament, because we didn't actually play that badly. And you look back, I know it's kind of clutching at straws, but I think the last time we lost every game at a major championships in the group stage was 1988, and Bobby Robson was in charge, and there was all the calls for his head, and he was completely ridiculed by the press. And 2 years later, they were World Cup semi-finalists. So, you know, I don't think we can get
We're enjoying your optimism.
Yeah, as I say, I'm trying to find some positives, clutching it out.
So what do you make of these England adverts that have been going out, and obviously having been knocked out, people are unhappy seeing adverts such as the Carlsberg one where, you know, all the England fans are there watching their brilliant team on the big screen and then, you know, various pillars are being moved out the way and they're getting better seats, when you're thinking if you'd actually watch the games, you'd like a smaller telly and the pillar to come back in.
It's always the way, isn't it? If we'd done brilliantly, and I think, you know, the companies involved would be getting their money's worth, and it's kind of backfired a little bit now, isn't it? Because it's kind of the last thing anybody wants to see at the moment. I mean, It will, I think, ease a little bit, but the fact that the players are already back in England and there's still a game going on at the moment in the group stage, and England are back home and have been for a day or so, any sort of reminder of that, I think, is the last thing you want to see.
Okay, and so give us a tip for who, I mean, I picked Argentina at the top, but their defence looking a bit shaky, so where's your money on?
Well, it was at the start on Brazil. I think you're right, Argentina's defence is their suspect area. I mean, it's no sort of great inside knowledge to go for Brazil, because I think they were most people's favourites, and I think home advantage is always important at the World Cup. And they haven't actually played particularly well yet in getting out of the group, but that's always the way. If you kind of look at previous winners of World Cups, it's the teams that kind of start not slowly, but certainly not at their best, but then get better and better and sort of grow together as the competition goes on, that tend to end up winning it. For me, the key game for Brazil is the next one, because they've got Chile in the second round. They've looked brilliant, all South American affair, and Chile have been one of the teams that have really stood out in the group stage. So I think if Brazil get through that, and it is quite a big if, then I think they'll go on to win it. But I think of the other teams that have impressed me so far that I didn't pick out at the start, I'd say Holland and France have both been excellent.
Brilliant. So can you just give us a little flavour of what's coming up sporting-wise? What are you making of Wimbledon at the moment? Have you been keeping your eye on that?
I have been keeping my eye on it. It's always a bit of a slow burner in the first week is Wimbledon. Certainly this year, actually, there's not been any classic matches yet involving the really big boys. It's kind of the second week next week when it will get interesting. I think Andy Murray so far, very smooth first couple of matches in defence of his title. It's going to be probably not, I mean, looking at it, and I don't want to tempt fate on the on paper, it's going to be the quarterfinals onwards before he starts to get significantly tested.
How did Nadal get on? I saw he was losing the first set, but
he turned it around. That was one that at one stage looked like it might be the big upset. He was actually playing the guy who beat him last year, Lucas Robert, but he lost the first set and actually was a set point down in the second set tiebreak. And I think had he lost that, he could have been in serious trouble, but he didn't. He turned it around and ended up going through in four sets. So a bit of a scare.
So, yeah, at the moment, keep an eye on it. And then we've got a bit of golf with Hoylake coming up and
Tour
de France. So we've got lots of things that we can look forward to, hopefully.
Exactly. Try and stay positive. It's not been a good week or so, has it, with England going out of the World Cup. The cricketers losing the Test series to Sri Lanka.
England losing
the rugby 3-0 to New Zealand. So, yeah, we'll forget about what's gone and we'll look ahead to Murray at Wimbledon. I'm actually going up to the Tour de France.
Oh, yeah, mention that. Yeah, get that one in just before you go.
Yeah, passes my parents' end road in York, actually. Does I think it's the second
very
day.
Very nice, too. Maybe you'll be able to pip along to the Rip and Tramp Museum. We've been talking about disappointing attractions in Britain.
Right.
So there is the Rip and Tramp Museum up in that direction.
Yeah, so that's about half an hour away from...
there we go. So, there's a few up there. There's the Lawnmower Museum up somewhere. So, all of these things.
You've got to add that one to the list.
Yeah, that's it. You know, for the only reason the Tour de France isn't doing it for you, you've got lots of things to look forward to. Thanks for your time, Phil. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Well, hey, cheers, Andy.
Cheers. Bye. So, there we go. Mr. Phil Blacker there, giving his top tip of Brazil in the Brazil World Cup. It seems entirely plausible. We'll see how they go on against Chile. We're looking forward to finding out what you think they should be doing with their adverts. The England footballers, now they're out of the World Cup. We will find out after Kings of Leon and Don't Matter. Here we go. So, England footballers doing adverts, Carlsberg, Subway, Mars... They've been upsetting people now that they've been knocked out. What adverts should they be doing? Well, we have had some feedback. Bristol Lad says on Twitter, Kleenex adverts.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It should be really the supporters who are using the...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but anyway, not bad. Have you got any on your feed there? What feedback do you have? Anything at all?
Not at the moment.
Okay, well, I've got here from the infamous me. He's suggesting... Carlsberg for the head, right? So instead of the Carlsberg, Carlsberg for the head, and then massage for the shoulders. You see, instead of Joe Hart's head and shoulders. Well, you know, there's somebody suggesting the old Hamlet cigar ads.
The sad music.
The whole idea of Hamlet, wasn't it, was that, you know, it's a Hamlet moment when everything's gone wrong. Your house has fallen down.
You can still seek solace in a cigar.
You can't That's really crazy. See too many, you know, the England footballers are keen to do a cigar ad, and they say it doesn't quite the image of, you know, health and
of
fitness.
Of their health and fitness
they'll
image,
be,
yeah.
They'll be
but
keen to put through, necessarily.
But
I mean,
not
Suarez,
that, not that the
Suarez
health
has got 4 months, though, hasn't he? You think he should be able to do a few ads now, and there's going to be a few people bite-sized Weetabix or something.
Yeah. Yeah, or toothbrush ads.
Yeah.
Because they can really make something to do. If he was English,
yeah,
they would make something of that. He would be in adverts about, you know, mouth guards, or, you know, about...
Fresh breath.
He'd be doing all of that. Because, yeah, look, you know, look what happened with the British media really like to grab hold of something like that. Because, you know, Paul Gascoigne was in every advert crying.
Not now, though, is he?
Well, not now. Nobody would really want him to advertise anything now. Possibly fried chicken.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but what else was it? Dressing gown.
Dressing gown, yeah. Fishing rod. Yes, and a 4-pack of bitter.
You like your exes, don't you?
I do.
You like trying to squeeze them in. So I've got a few more here. I just need a chance to find them. You know, technically, it takes a while. Here we go. This is one from Jonathan Rowbotham, or Botham, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Or Robotham.
Robotham.
Yeah. Viagra adverts, because they are all useless pricks.
That's good.
There we go. There's
that's more like it.
Yeah. Somebody's still suggesting I should do the Head and Shoulders ad, and, you know.
Were you really asked to do a Head and Shoulders ad once?
Well, there was talk. Yeah, no. I would, a moisturiser, though. You know, I think, you know, a little bit of moisturiser.
You've got good skin. You can advertise moisturising.
It'd be great to get L'Oreal, wouldn't it? You know, because I'm worth it. Get one of those in. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So this, the one, here we go, dating agencies. England footballers should do dating agencies. This is from Shockmaster's Helmet. Now, there's...
Wayne Rooney could do quite a specialised dating website, couldn't he?
What's it? You're bored of your wife. Why not invite somebody around to a hotel? Anyway, enough of that. Here we go. Dating agencies. That way, they can show they know how to make a pass.
Hey.
Come on there. Bit of old school.
There's the gold.
Bit of old school for you there. So let me just going through. I should have done something better with these rather than having to flick through various bits. But I'll get there. I will get there. You still got nothing that you want to join in on this whilst I'm making...
Well, I mean, I really don't know about footballers. I mean, it always strikes me as weird that they're allowed to advertise stuff anyway, because they never really come across with having that much personality.
Right.
And also, David Beckham advertises everything anyway.
Yes.
Doesn't he? And I've got no complaints with that, I have to say.
You like him in his little pants.
He can advertise caravans, and I think it was amazing.
Yeah.
He could advertise the Steam Museum and with the...
The Bakelite Museum.
He could advertise the Bakelite Museum, yeah. And I would go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine him advertising caravans. You don't see David Beckham as a caravan sort of person,
I reckon he'd get into a caravan with...
Yeah, with Posh and the poor
Posh
kids.
And the Brood.
You'd never
and
get
Harper.
Into a caravan. Harper 7.
Harper 7, that's right.
Who Harper calls 7. Their kid Harper 7? It is how northern people say 7:30. That is Harper 7. Oh, I go.
Hey.
Oh, you go. So, what did you make of Wimbledon? You've been watching the tennis?
I find the whole thing intensely irritating. The whole, come on, Tim. And
yeah, well, certainly now, because he's given up some time
ago.
Well,
yeah, good. And so
should have given up some time ago.
But
yeah.
Now it's like, oh, come on, Andy. You can. I mean, yeah, he did do it last time. That fair dues.
First time in 79 years or whatever, you know, or... Obviously but, not for him, you know, but...
Yeah, not
know.
For him.
You, yeah,
that would be
that
bloody
long.
Good, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
But the whole Murray Mound and Hemman, I just find it all really intensely irritating. I think the best bit of Wimbledon for me was always when Cliff Richard did the song When It Rained.
Well, that is a tragedy. That is a, you know, there's people crying now having listened to that. That's your favourite bit, was when some old man tried to rejuvenate his career. I don't know. So what... And did you see about the footballers and sex? Did you see this? This was maybe caught your attention. Bit of sex and football.
No, footballers
England
and sex scandals?
Englanders were allowed to shag beforehand.
That's right, they were, weren't they? Do you think that was something to do with it? Do you think that was something to do with their poor performance on the pitch?
Well, I think they got fucked on the pitch anyway. But the Brazilian squad, they were told they could have sex, but no acrobatics.
I don't quite know how these Brazilian footballers, you know, were having sex, you know, little trapeze in the bedroom, but you've got to cut that out, you know.
Who hasn't got a little trapeze in the bedroom?
But my favourite one, the French team were told, right, that they could have sex, but not all night long. it's like some bragging, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Normally they would do. Normally they would be having sex all night. But now, because we were told, we'll have to keep it a little bit short.
Who polices all this? That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah, no, certainly.
Do they have some little poor linesman that has in the evening stand there with a flag just making sure?
Well, you'd be disappointed if you're going for a long session, you're a French player, you're going for a long session, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you get, you know, somebody, little voice going, that's enough! Hello, it's enough! We will be back. We will talk about... We'll assess the show. Can we do prizes? Have we got anything to give people? Can we send anything?
I'm scouting my... Oh, I tell you what we've got. We've still got in the office a bottle of water that was left here by Alex Zane.
A bottle of water from Alex Zane. I mean,
come on, girls.
That's the sort of prize that everybody... it's going to go mad for the last quarter of an hour.
And Richard Herring said that a few of us were sent... We're talking about creation. There was this World Atlas, and it's written by creationists, and it's... It's a very strange tone, but it weighs 7 kilograms, and Richard Herring was sent one here, and we said, what do you want us to do with it? And he said, we can give it away as a prize.
That's going to be expensive. We post It'll that be, to somebody.
You'll have to come and collect it. There's no way FUBAR are going to let me post that.
We will check exactly what we can offer you. It may be a very heavy book. It may possibly be a bit of water that Alex Zane has touched, backwashed back into. I don't know the details. We'll find out the details after this track. I'm just looking. It's going to be, in fact, example. I like this one. This is all right, this one is. It's true, but I have got better at it, though, haven't I?
You have.
In the course of the 3 hours, I'll just have one final...
Go on, then.
No, but that ripping a new hole in the news, I've had enough of that one, I think. So if we can get another exciting one for next week, that'd be fabulous. Is that all right?
Let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
And we won't let
what we should do is when we have people in and on the phone and all the rest of it, we could get people to send them in, because we're going to get an email address for next week.
We're going to be so in the 21st century, it's going to hurt.
Smells to people.
You can send me, please send me your fragrances that you've released.
The smell of quiet disappointment will be coming your way.
Maybe we can give that as a prize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The smell of quiet disappointment.
But you won't get it for 6 months until they've invented it.
Yeah.
What did we decide it was in the end? I can't even remember.
We decided, God, that feels like weeks ago.
My short-term memory's gone, isn't it?
You said it was Lembit Open.
I said
it wasn't Lembit
Open. No, that's it. But I didn't know you were friends with him. I didn't know.
We're not friends. Hello. We haven't been out for a drink
or
anything.
I bet he's got Celine Dion poster. That's all I've
heard. I reckon he would have, actually.
I'm going to Google him. I bet he lives in Penge. So we should maybe recap as to, the first hour, we were talking politics, we were talking attractions.
We had Gavin Ramjoam.
And, what was your favourite attraction? Now that you've heard the full remit, which any of these that we were slagging off, were you thinking now? Actually, I don't. You know, if I've got a quiet day, which one I might go to?
Down. Yeah. Do you know? I really liked the sound of that marble. I really liked the sound of that. Sounded wicked.
I'm glad I've sold that one. See, the Basildon Heritage Trail definitely isn't going to get me. The Creationist Museum won't get me. Diggerland, you know, I could be dragged to. None of them have actually, you know, I suppose I'm slightly curious just to see that pencil in the Cumberland Pencil Museum. Just to see the pointlessness of the world's largest pencil.
And how they sharpen it.
Well, presumably they don't have to because nobody can use it. So it remains sharp all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really is useless, isn't it?
It is.
That really is useless.
And then, of course, we moved on and we were looking at the smells, which we've touched upon.
Smells with Steve.
And we were thinking of a prize for maybe the best contribution to the show, and then we haven't really come up with a decent prize, have we? But
I think that's something we can really work on in weeks to come.
Yeah, maybe we should get some suggestions as to prizes.
That's a bad idea, isn't it?
No, I think...
A Lamborghini, please.
Yeah, but we don't have to say, oh, people say a Lamborghini, we go, oh, that's ruined it now. We're going to have to give them a Lamborghini. We can have suggestions of things that are incredibly cheap that people would want.
How about a really tiny pencil?
Oh, yeah. Have Fubar got any freebies at all? Have they got key rings or anything? Is there
key
anything?
Key rings?
I don't know. What do they do? What do people do? They're cheap, aren't they, key rings? That's why I suggested key rings. Yeah, if you go to disappointing, you know, if you haven't got much money, key rings are one of those you can get like 300 for like 5p. It's like lighters now, isn't it? You know, you can have a Fubar lighter.
See, I wonder what the half of these attractions that you've been talking about. I wonder what the gift shop must look like. Yeah. Like in the Needle.
Well, they were saying that, I don't know if you saw that 9/11, right, now the site in New York, it's got, and there was slag off because they got a shop. You can buy 9/11 memorabilia.
I know, and they have got some really bad taste things in there as well. That a lot of the survivors and families of the victims have said that's a bit bad taste.
It's like the gift shop at the Holocaust Museum or something like that. You know, you go, this is not a strong idea, is it?
Not really.
You know, no, there's some things that souvenirs are not necessarily, you know, make your money in other ways.
I'll tell you what I think is an absolutely shocking.
Yeah. Now, finally, we're getting to it. Right. 3 hours in.
And I can't believe I have only just remembered this, because this actually gets me really angry.
Oh, this is good.
Right.
This is good.
M&M's World.
M&M's World.
In London. Have you seen it?
No.
It's a massive shop in London's glittering Leicester Square.
Yeah.
And it's three floors.
Yeah.
Of M&M stuff, and the tourists.
Is it not just sweets?
Flock to it. They know that you can get.
I didn't think they did anything else. What else do M&M's do?
You can buy a big cuddly M&M. So, and I'm not joking.
Three floors.
There's three floors of it, and there are tourists in their thousands are going there, and they are. When I roam in central London in that area, there's a flock of tourists and they're all carrying individually one at least of a big M&M's World bag, stuff full of useless crap they're going to take back to wherever they come from and bestow on unlucky family members and friends. I mean, it would be like, what's that got to do with London? And I can buy an M&M up the road if I want to and keep your M&M.
Yeah, I haven't got as angry as you are.
I'm really...
Mainly because I've never heard of it, and I've been through Leicester Square many times. I've not seen it. I've not seen anybody with a giant M&M. But, you know, maybe I'm just behind the times. I need to get there.
I need to go
to the third floor and see what else is available. So maybe that's what we could do.
And why M&M's?
We could give people a packet of M&M's as a prize.
Or just a singular...
Yeah, and send it on a hot day.
But hey, we won't tell you which one it'll be, so you might get the nut one or you might get the other one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So yes, that's something to look forward to, guys.
The M&M World.
Why or yeah. I'll send you a Revel, and then you really don't know what you're going to get, do you?
Hey, there we go. And I believe there was an advert along those lines, wasn't there?
Which
a certain comedian had a joke for and thought they'd stolen it and was very unhappy. So we won't go down those routes. Oh no. So before, how long we got now? We got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, just 3 minutes only.
Three minutes.
That flew by.
Is there, well, that, you know, we'd love to hear the producer saying that flew by. Should we talk about next week? Is there anything we need to put to the listeners? What do we need to say to them? Do we need to say, you know, do a bit of training for next week?
Yeah,
you know?
I think that if you could all keep a keen eye on the news agenda next week.
Yeah.
And then ring the studio on... Where's that?
Do you want to play the thing again?
Yeah, play the thing.
The Show wants you. Call 0330 223 0200. Email studio@fubarradio.com or tweet at FubarRadio and at Mr. Andy Parsons.
And how will they find out the email? What's the format there? Do we just tell them next week?
We're going to tell them during next week's show.
Oh, God. Oh,
that's prize enough, surely.
They won't be able to sleep for the next 7 days. They're finding out the email. I'm going to try and sort out a bit of Facebook as well for next week. So
all happening.
Oh, goodness. It's going to be, you know... it would just be brilliant, won't it? It would be brilliant. And we'll also... You know, we no idea what we're going to talk about.
We don't know because it hasn't happened yet.
You know.
But just because, say, you might want to talk about something that we're not talking about. So just give us a ring and we'll decide if we want to talk to you.
Yeah. I mean, and the things that we were thinking that we might talk about today, we haven't got around to. The whole idea that Labour were hacked, their Twitter account.
Mm.
Owls for everyone. We haven't talked about owls. Do you like owls?
I was hacked. Somebody put an owl on my Twitter and on my Facebook.
Was it Ed Miliband? In revenge.
Yeah, probably.
He thought it was you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
We haven't talked about Wonga. We could talk about Wonga next week.
Yes, yes.
Wonga Wonga.
Yes.
Fake lawyers. Oh, there's some fun to be had with that, surely, I think. The whole idea that they're giving them some compensation now, aren't they? These people that they said, oh, you know, charging them for a letter that they basically made up from a fake lawyer. Well, God, that makes me angry.
That makes me cross. I've got a
percentage
got a whole
rate
issue
of 5,853%. That makes me angry. M&M World, nothing. We haven't talked about Louis Tomlinson, have we? One Direction's Louis Tomlinson taking over Doncaster Rovers.
Huh?
Wanted a quieter time, he said, than One Direction. So he's bought Doncaster Rovers, and I'm guessing on the terraces there, that is a quieter time he's going to be having. We haven't talked about the fact that fans have been throwing stuff at One Direction and they said, don't throw stuff, I've got a dodgy knee. Now, if I was going to see One Direction, I'd be chucking stuff, I know which knee it is, and I'd be trying to get it. We haven't talked about necessarily Ed Sheeran and Sam Smith, have we? Not really the typical sort of pop stars that you would expect to see, you know, in the X Factor world, is there? You know, ginger, pasty-faced glasses, but can play instruments. Almost the antithesis of One Direction, you'd have thought.
Indeed. So what are they doing? I've missed that story. So what's going on with Ed Sheeran and Sam Smith?
We not together. You know, I was just giving you two examples of a different take. You know, this, apparently they were all on Wayne Rooney's Spotify list.
Were they?
That sort of slightly depressed thing. And this was before the World Cup. Goodness knows what he's listening to now, poor old Wayne Rooney. But we've had fun, haven't we?
I've loved it.
God, we've had fun. Mm-hmm. Hope you've had some fun as well. We look forward to catching up with you next week. We're going to play out now, I believe, with Foster the People. I think they are at Glastonbury. It could be pissing it down. There might be thunder and lightning. There'll be people swimming in their own urine. You're better off here. Wherever you are, have a great week. We look forward to seeing you 7 p.m. next Thursday.